This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
So how do we really scare everybody?
How?
This never works.
Is that Robert Goulet?
Scared kids? No, that's just...
There they go.
Not scary enough.
Not scary kids?
No. We're going to scare you in the opening segment in the preamble to the show.
Ready to be scared?
We're going to listen to the following segment all the way through without spinning any wheels. Listen and be scared.
Well, Allison, if you are looking for a little Halloween fun for the whole family, then you need to experience a Frightmare. It's just one of the new Halloween attractions at Six Flags America, where Fright Fest 2007 is underway. Coming up, we're going to tell you why you most certainly want to make this part of your upcoming weekend plans. It's all live next on Fox 5 Morning News. Stay with us.
And now we're going to have to hear the entire segment.
Holly juice, holly juice, holly juice.
Do you believe in spooks?
Specters?
I just have to paint a picture. The character that she interviews in this segment.
I saw it on TV today.
Is wearing a LeMay t-shirt.
A LeMay t-shirt?
Now, I'm not going to tell you who she's interviewing, but just know that he's wearing a LeMay t-shirt.
Oh, no. What's LeMay?
It's a...
sparkly, like gold.
Oh, okay, like gold LeMay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Carol Channing type fabric.
Gotcha.
Okay, get out. Speaking of Carol Channing, how you doing?
There she is.
There she is.
Nice to see you, darling.
See, this is not scary.
Take care, baby.
And without even spinning the wheel of Holly.
Oh, look at that. There goes Vic Tayback.
Even without spinning the wheel.
Yes.
I saw this on my TV today, and this is scary.
Were you scared?
Sure. This is just Holly Morris, the hyperactive poodle. Just getting it going.
Getting it done.
This is the cover.
Getting it done.
This is the cover. She's got the guy that she knows from somewhere in the past.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, guys. And it is more delightful than frightful, at least when you're talking about Frightmares, just one of the new celebrations or events that are going on here at Fright Fest 2007, the largest Halloween celebration in the nation's capital. We are in the Grand Theater right now, and I am joined by none other than Funkenstein, also known as Les Bowen. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about this show, because there's really a buzz about it, and everyone's excited.
Listen to her voice already.
Seen it before.
Such a great show. So family friendly. The children love us. We are a little spooky, but then they realize...
I'm Frankenstein, Holly.
And dance. We pull people on stage. They might see some...
You are so caffeinated, Holly.
That's the deal. They have gone across the nation to bring in the best talent for this show.
Yes, we have.
I mean, they searched far and wide and went to places where they knew great talent was...
You are wound up, Holly Morris.
In fact, they pulled Les Bowen from none other than Fairfield, Ohio. Where I am from.
The hometown.
We graduated from
Fairfield, Ohio.
How amazing is that? You know, talent just comes from there.
It does.
Which
it does.
Is just a natural, right?
Sometimes.
Quickly, tell me about you guys rehearsing for the show, what it took to pull it together.
Rehearsals are about a two-week process. You rehearse in a room, you know, you learn the music, you start the dances, and you just repeat it until you're ready for it.
Over and over again, Holly.
Oh, Holly.
Then the show's up and ready to go.
Fairfield, Ohio.
Back from the audience.
Oh, the audience loves it.
Okay, well now, Funkenstein and I were both Fairfield Corleers. That was our high school show choir. So,
with Rob Spielwack.
They were both in the choir.
Banshina.
Banshina,
theater arts.
A witch with a W. And here we go.
No.
You might get this if you're, I'm ready.
It's astounding. I'm fleeting. Madness takes its toll.
Holly's going to jump in here now.
I'm once again.
Now she's dancing on stage.
Took the life right out of me.
And listen. Allison, I didn't just get this experience because I'm here this morning. They do bring people out from the audience onto stage to time warp with them and more. It is an entertaining show. It only goes through this weekend. They have 3 performances on Friday, 4 performances each on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
Fright Fest 2007.
Yeah, okay.
Come
right.
out and experience it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be going back to my show choir days.
Yep. Let's go take a visit.
Very good. Oh. We're going to have more Fright Fest fun coming up our next hour. Back to you guys.
Oh, my God.
Scared, Jim.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Hey, come on in, guys. Don't be bashful. There they are. Oh, Holly.
Before we start the show.
I'm totally freaked out now.
We do have one special guest star that we want to recognize in our Halloween Spooks Choir today.
Really? Oh.
Step up and say hi.
Hello, boys and girls. It's me, the Frito Bandido.
How about that? The Don and Mike Show. Wonderful.
Hello.
Oh, hello yourself.
Hello.
Hi, Joe!
Let's pick a phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That was not funny. Don't
hard.
You stop laughing. That ain't funny.
Not funny.
Not funny.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Charlie.
Welcome.
Well.
Well. What have we here?
What have we here?
Hi, I'm Alan Coulter, TV's Howie Mandel.
You would listen to the music on the...
Mommy Booby! Mommy Booby! Mommy Booby!
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
What about weed? Is gonna be any weed?
Hi, I know.
These people have lost their minds.
Peter North. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Woo! I think he... like 10 to 12 times at one point.
Is everybody happy?
I'm not happy.
What the bleep happened here?
I don't know. Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thanks, Ed.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
This is the Don and Mike Show. It's Tuesday. And you can call us. Phone number 877-365-3636. I'm a little concerned as I look at the screen. I'm getting no phone calls there.
Oh, dear, do we have a technical issue right out of the box?
No one's calling.
We got to reset it. No, Buzz, sadly, that never happens to us. Now, somebody's always calling.
That's right. Unfortunately, that is the case.
We have to reset the telephones.
Now, on my little thing, I see lots of people calling right now.
Yeah, they're just not coming up on the air. We got to reset the computer.
They're not coming through the computer?
That was one of our great moments in Morning Zoo history.
Yes.
Mike and I are stuck out at some goddamn hopeless remote.
Might have been Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
No,
we
did that. We worked at
JFK. It was somewhere where we had to work harder.
Uh-huh.
It was somewhere where there was nothing going on, and
it
we were trying
been
to.
Wild World.
Don and Mike Folklore says Wild World. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Wild World?
I think so. Where that Fright Fest tape was.
Yep.
It was a really smelly amusement park. It was a Saturday.
Or was it a Memorial Day?
Whatever. It was a day we shouldn't have been there when no one really cared about us being by, you know, Bacteria Mountain.
I mean, at the crack of dawn, being in the middle of Wild World.
So it was just Mike and I and our producer Frank sitting in an empty amusement park.
Right.
And we said, well, let's open the phones. You know, kind of bold for 1985.
Sure was.
Morning radio said, just open the phones. And our guy, David Edgar, timidly cracked open the microphone and said, Donna, Mike, no one's calling.
We thought it was a technical error.
Wrong
and we
answer.
Thought it was a glitch.
Now, yeah. You know, you could say, hey, we're having a problem with the phones or whatever. No, it was just.
Right. We're giving him a hard time. Hey, what's the deal? We're not getting any. Nothing's coming through. Hello? Hello? What's going through?
No one's calling.
It's just a wonderful thing you say to a couple of people that are on the radio.
There we go. We're reset now. Here we go.
Look,
ready for action. Right. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Holly Moore's conspiracy theory. Holly was out at Six Flags this morning, which is owned by Little Dan Snyder. Redskins are on Fox.
What's the conspiracy?
I don't know.
Unless you're making a play on words with conspiracy, as our friend Charles Barkley did. I don't think you did.
Now, you wouldn't think that we were aware of the fact that Little Danny owns that theme park?
Listen, he's gone. And I got to start by telling you what happened today. We got an email from Janet's boss, her ex-boss.
Uh-oh. Really?
Right? So.
Uh-oh. Chungo.
I bet you'll never guess in a million years what happens.
He emails you and he says, thank you for a great weekend.
Hold on a second. Yeah, he emails her. We're up in the computer room and she says, oh, JC. Uh-huh. Because she won't say it. And
right.
I said, what? And she said, oh, the guy emailed me and it says, about the show.
Oh.
I said, come on, be brave.
Right.
Open it up. Be brave. So finally she opened it up and it's all in caps, which of course most times means I'm yelling at you.
Right.
He wrote, dear Jan, listened to the show online yesterday. Waited to hear you talk about our weekend in Atlantic City. Uh-huh. She's reading this to me from across the room, and then she goes, oh, no. Like, oh, God, what is it? Just tell me. She says, he writes, ha, 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 ha. That was some funny ass.
He loved it.
He didn't just love it.
Right.
All caps loved it.
He has booked a return to Atlantic City on his dime.
That's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Where you're going to get together with him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Well, how the hell can you do that after all that? I thought you hated the guy.
Thank you for saying that, Mike. I didn't want to say that in case he was listening on the stream today.
Right.
Excuse me. And I don't actively hate him.
Yeah, but you would be willing to go back down there again on his dime?
No,
not going to happen.
No. I just thought it was funny.
He's obviously got, he's got something going for him, in my opinion. He's got a good sense of humor. He can laugh at himself.
Sounds like it.
I mean, it's,
I
you
agree.
Know, I mean, if he heard yesterday's show and he's laughing at it, I mean, that's fantastic.
I totally agree, and I think that's great, and he should go read the movie Boiler Room again.
Maybe you should give him another try.
Maybe you, my friend, helper. Yeah, maybe you should just stop helping, Mike.
I'm just reacting to what you're saying. I'm very surprised at that.
I just thought it was funny.
It's a damn miracle.
So if he happens to be listening,
you have good luck like that.
If he happens to be listening now, mm-hmm. Janet's going to write you back that we're busy, but really, we're wide open.
But if that was an email coming to me, you know what it would say? How dare you, Mr. President? How dare you, you bastard?
Just thought it was funny.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, what's happening?
Well, a lot more than going over there.
What? I mean, what does that mean?
What do you mean? Where's over there and where?
Excuse me. Pick a part. We're very smoky out here.
What part of California are you calling from?
We're on just a little below Santa Barbara. We'll be right.
Now that's what I call being on it, right there. That is being on it.
It's for our continuing coverage, Mike.
Wow.
Where'd you say you're calling from?
Is that a lawnmower or is that like a plane flying over?
We have a plane flying over. We've got these aerial bombers that are dropping fire retardant over. So I'm sorry I didn't hear you. I couldn't hear what you're saying.
Fire retardant.
Uh-huh. I couldn't
fire
hear
retardant.
What you're saying. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
So you're calling about what's going on in California right now?
Well, I just want to know, did you finish the story about the Regis Philbin concert you went to yesterday? We'll be riding
wildfire. Tribute to all our friends dealing with that nightmare out in California.
Oh, hell.
Yes,
hell.
I did.
Well, he didn't take that well at all.
Wow, maybe he really was like...
Is he serious?
I mean, if the planes were flying over his head, maybe he was in the middle of all that.
Well, he shouldn't have been calling us then. He should have been pulling his stuff
out
of his house.
Well, I think it was a kind of, we're thinking of him. That's why we had the song ready. Yeah.
We'll be riding wildfire.
It's 90 degrees. The winds are going 70 miles an hour. People are touching.
Wait a minute, though. If he's concerned and he's so upset, he wasn't upset that we were doing that. He was upset that we weren't talking about Regis.
That, too.
His priorities are completely out of whack.
Well, I did talk about
Regis. I just don't get it.
I did talk about Regis yesterday when I talked about the guy from Philadelphia and then how surprised I was that he thought, you know, that everything was kosher.
Uh-huh. You talked about him going to the show for, if I remember correctly, 6 minutes.
Thoroughly. Yeah.
You were 6 minutes at the show. So technically, you talked about the show for longer than you even attended the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
I may even have, in a roundabout way, insulted his wife yesterday.
That's true.
You mean Regis's wife?
No, the guy from Philadelphia.
Oh, you're
wife.
Still thinking about the guy from Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But he doesn't care because he wrote you an email that said, ha, 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 ha.
Now that's all tied into the Regis thing.
It's all funny.
But that guy from California, he'd simply reached the end of his rope. We'll be riding
wild. I'm not sure I agree with your analogy there, Rob. I mean, I think he was a little hot under the collar.
Ah! And then he says,
he was fuming.
You go to hell. Go to hell.
I don't know what burned him up.
Hey, guys.
Not funny.
Can I just say something on behalf of Keanu?
Yes.
And Leah?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Paul Newman and all my friends.
Of course.
Y'all can go to hell. We'll be right. LaDainian Tomlinson had to leave his house.
Right.
Yeah. Is he one of the evacuees? We'll be riding
wildfire. Once again, Norv Turner does not deliver.
So are you saying that the coverage of the fires is perhaps focusing a little too heavily on celebrities and not on the other people that are also having to evacuate?
Well, I don't know about you, Mike, but I sure am concerned about how Steve Buscemi's house is doing. We'll be riding
wildfire. I'm assuming you're talking about LaDainian Tomlinson, you're talking about the San Diego fires.
Yes.
Serious.
But Steve Buscemi's probably the Malibu fire.
Yeah, and if you're watching it from a national level, which we do, the focus in San Diego is not on the hundreds of thousands of people who've had to move. It's the fact that a couple of the Chargers have had to move.
Right.
And in Southern California, it's not all of the regular people, it's all of the celebrities.
Right. Will the celebrities, and not necessarily have their houses burned, but will their houses burn, right?
Yeah.
Are they in danger? You know, will the fire skip across Pacific Coast Highway and endanger the celebrities' home?
There's a lot of that. I'm Captain Dan. That's Howie Mandel's house. Will it be spared? We'll be riding
wildfire. Not necessarily focusing on the thousands, perhaps even thousands of people that have already had their houses
but
burned.
Celebrities are national treasures.
Yes. Right. Well, in our culture today.
Yes.
The era of celebrity.
That's right.
And I will come right out and say this. I don't often say this. I probably will go to hell for laughing at the reporter that they showed over and over again. You're supposed to feel bad for the guy.
Okay.
He's from a San Diego TV station. And he's standing in front of his house, which looks to be like an A-frame or a cabin up on a hill. And it's just about burned to nothing.
Oh, really? It's his own house?
And the guy goes, well, I'm in front of my house, and as you can see, it's just about gone.
Oh. Does he get emotional at all?
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Wow.
That can't be easy. That's a tough assignment.
That is a tough assignment. We'll be right. Talk about getting extra credit.
Reporting from my personal disaster.
Wow. He
didn't have to drive very far.
And they run it on every goddamn channel.
And you're
sure.
Talking about going to hell. I'm going to be right with you because you know what I think immediately?
What?
Well, I know that nature's certainly helping the cause out there as far as these wildfires. But, boy, I mean, to really get ahead and the ethics of TV news people, do you think there's a chance that...
Yes.
Okay. You know, maybe like if you looked around the surrounding area, there would be no fire, and he decided that you know he's going to go down and like drop a couple of cans of Sterno in his basement.
What could it hurt now?
Yeah,
you know,
who knows?
Hey, this you know, I had to get something really good for this one. Oh, I'm horrible.
That is awful.
It's an ember that
and
did
yet
it.
Yet funny.
It's a burning ember.
No, you're not horrible. You know what's horrible is getting that thing in all caps that just said Ha, 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 ha.
Were you shocked, I imagine, right?
Thought it was hilarious. Uh-huh. I'm not the cheap bastard that you think I am. And it was like, follow my beautiful Ralph Lauren suspenders and join me and my wife for a weekend beyond exotics that you've seen. Mm-hmm. And because I am the type of guy that I am, .. I will pay for everything.
Well, now you ought to hold him to that.
Yeah.
You ought to get the bridal suite. You ought to get the finest restaurants.
Mike, he wins. If he's volleying it back to, like, almost dare me to go, he wins. I'm not going to go.
We ought to get him on the show.
Janet says, that's a big N-O.
Oh, okay. All right. N-O. Well, it seems to me, though, that now you've said your piece. He responded like that. Would that be a push to you? Would that be it's over now? I mean, it's you can go your separate ways.
I believe that
But if he listened to the show, he doesn't get it.
Right.
I mean, if he wants to be hang out with you again.
To be honest.
He thinks you might be fibbing about not liking him. He doesn't know that you're telling the truth. I'm just thinking out loud.
You don't use your inside voice. Janet said that's exactly it. That she's positive.
You just made it up.
That I'm mocking him, even though I described him to an absolute.
You're mocking
him. He must think that I'm doing an incredible, grotesque parody of him.
A caricature.
When in truth, it was like looking in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
There was no funhouse aspect to this guy.
Yeah, it wasn't like you're going, oh, he's reacting to your insults of yesterday by going, oh, God, yeah. You're too funny. Yeah. You are a cut up. You are really when you're going. No, I mean what I said.
You're a pushy sales guy with a one day growth of beard from Philadelphia with bad sock chewing breath.
Now that's new. That's a new wrinkle. You didn't put that one in there yesterday.
And if we're talking about things, why don't we talk about the fact that for most of the drive back, Janet and I spent most of the time discussing. What failed cosmetic surgery your wife has had.
Oh! Wow. Whoa.
Truth.
Wow. Are you trying to send him another message today?
Well, either that or I'm going to go home and my girlfriend's not going to be there.
Uh-huh.
The area that Janet identified, incidentally, was right...
Topside?
Right on top of the boob. But the area between... Where the boob begins and, like, where the neck is.
Yeah.
She was positive that this lady had something done there.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. To pull in skin.
Sure.
To lift up the boob.
To tighten things up a little bit.
A bit of a lift.
Yeah. So.
The area between the neck and the boobs, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked about it for a long time.
Sure. The look on your face is telling me you feel like you may be going into... uncharted territory right now. Territory that you're not concerned about this couple.
No.
But you may be concerned about life on the home front.
Yes, sir.
Are you thinking that you're going into this area just to make sure that the guy knows once and for all what the dilly is?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny to talk about him like this. I wonder if even now he thinks I'm still just goofing around with him. You think so?
Well, I'm looking at you, and I know you're not. So, Mr. Salesman, Boiler Room, listen. I'm looking at him if you're listening right now. And he thinks you're a stain.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hi. Hi, what's up?
Dude, I want to ask Rob if he likes Ghostbusters.
If Rob likes what?
Does Rob like Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters.
Rob, do you like that movie? Of course you do.
Movie? Yeah.
Yeah, of course he does. What is the significance of this question?
I don't know.
Why are you
caring? No, not fair. Why do you ask that?
You must have a reason.
I just want to know.
Why would you
Why, care? Though? Why out of the blue? Why out of the blue Ghostbusters? Have you seen it? Is it your favorite movie? What? There's got to be a reason.
Why, please?
It's a fantastic movie.
And you thought Rob might share your love of that movie?
Yeah, I don't want anybody to secure the love of that movie.
I said, never mind.
Do you love the movie Ghostbusters?
Oh, I love Ghostbusters.
It does.
I bet Rob knows more about the movie than you do.
Mm-hmm. Go.
Well, try me.
It's on.
Ask Rob a piece of trivia about the movie Ghostbusters.
How about Rob asking me a piece of trivia?
What?
All right, well, Well, how come? Why can't we get a third party to ask trivia?
You know, what I'm having a trouble with right now, really. What I'm having a trouble with.
Yes, Elvis.
What I'm having a trouble right now, man. Let me tell you something, Jack. Is the diction too?
Yeah, you know
because
what?
They're constant. Look, consonants are your friends. Okay?
I have no problem with the shun. I have a problem with the dick.
Throw a T on there or an N so we can understand it.
All right,
and you'll do better. Okay.
Here's a trivia question for you, Mr. Stain. Who was the role of Peter Venkman written for?
I love you.
He's a stain.
He's just an ass.
Really?
Oh,
just
an
ass. Well, if you're such so hot on Ghostbusters, why aren't you participating in this discussion?
I love the movie.
Yeah, but Rob is asking you a trivia question about the movie, and you're not even choosing to take a guess.
I don't know.
You're a bad caller. You're a bad caller.
Okay, come on, guys. Knock it off.
All right.
John Belushi is the answer.
Is it John Belushi?
Yes.
You didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Where do you live?
But I live in Forest Hill, Maryland.
Well, I guess that's punishment enough.
Forest Hill?
Yes.
That wouldn't be Forest Hills.
Forest Hill.
It's a smaller suburb.
Cemetery. Yeah. Isn't Forest Hills a cemetery?
Forest Hills, I think, is where they have the U.S. Open tennis tournament.
Is it?
Is that? Forest Hill is in Maryland. I have no idea where that is.
What's the cemetery, the famous one?
Forest Lawn.
Forest Lawn.
That's in Southern California, right?
I think where George Burns is buried. We'll be riding
wildfire. And there's also Forrest Gregg.
And Forrest Tucker.
And Forrest Tucker.
Forrest Gump.
Calvert DeForest.
Oh, it's the first name Forrest Gump.
Not really fair, because I could say like the Emerald Forest.
Steve Forrest. Just another afternoon at home with a star. Mommy dearest.
Yeah, but his first name Forrest.
Okay. Well, we had Forrest Gregg, Forrest Tucker,
and Forrest Gump. That's it.
What about?
Oh, not a chance.
not a chance, dude.
I'm
waiting for him now.
If you had one, you could totally save this telephone call.
Who's the other Forrest you were going to give us?
I don't know.
No, I knew that.
Yeah. I knew I don't know.
He loves Ghostbusters.
Hope you enjoyed your visit.
Retard.
That was fun.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Janice Boss is a liar, liar, pants on fire. And Forrest Whitaker, eject.
Oh, Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah. Little late
That's
to the
a
party,
great
though.
Forrest, though.
Good one.
Forrest is a hard name.
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike show.
Oops.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is Elvis Aaron Presley. Oh,
why?
God.
Not
any more of these calls, I'm going to go Marie Osmond on everybody.
Hi, Don and Mike show.
Oh, hey, Radio God.
We are going to be talking to the self-loathing Tom Bergeron.
Oh, good.
That's a wonderful idea. I hope we can.
Earlier in the show today about that.
They're dropping like flies. Everyone is passing out. I don't know whether it's the stress or the fumes. I'm dancing with the stars.
Hello. What's up?
Hey, I just want to thank both of you for having me so violated first thing this afternoon.
How so?
Opening act had me so sexually violated, I just cannot believe it.
Sexually violated.
The opening act.
The opening act. I believe he's referring to Holly Morris.
Our opening act, Holly Morris. Yes, the girl.
Holly Morris.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, this question for Rob.
That's another caller not making any sense. It doesn't matter. It's the opening salvo. Don and Mike taking your calls. I'm dancing with the stars.
This call is for Rob.
He doesn't like Ghostbusters.
Bye!
Yeah, good.
Save everybody some time.
Very good.
Howdy, Don and Mike show.
Speak to us. Golden silence on the line. That's not a problem for any professional broadcaster. We'll be back with more Passing Out on Dancing with the Stars.
Who are you?
I'm the self-loathing Tom Bergeron.
Hello, Don and Mike show. It may be a problem with the software.
Is that more silence I'm hearing?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How's it going, guys?
There you go. Hey, what's happening, my friend?
Hello, Dullard.
Not too much. I got a couple funny stories for you here.
Not too much.
Just try your funniest.
We'll see. First off, there's what I was hearing on the news. There's this elderly woman, pretty much in her 80s. What she's doing is she just got caught stealing stuff from grocery stores for things such as frozen shrimps and T-bone steaks.
Frozen shrimps.
And what she was doing was taking these steaks and shrimps and taking them to other stores and selling them at a higher price. what intrigued me about that story is, who in their right mind is going to see an elderly woman walk into their store, lift her blouse, slap a T-bone steak on the counter, and think, ooh, I would love to buy that from her and sell it.
Now, are you working this material out with us? Like, are you in some fantasy world imagining that you're pitching this?
Observational comedy, Don.
Hello?
Hello?
No, sir.
Well, where did you get your story from?
The story is from a news radio show. I travel around the state delivering freight, so I have... listen to all kinds of different radio stations all around the state, but
so you were
just heard that little tidbit. I wanted to hear what you guys thought about that.
You were just repeating a piece of crap that you heard on some other radio station.
And commenting on it.
Right?
Well, I was expecting your comment. I want to see what you guys
thought. Well, you covered it. Here's our comment. Piss off.
Bye!
Jesus Christ.
That was interesting. How could we improve on anything he said?
I don't know what's wrong with people.
Thank you, Charlie.
You, Charlie.
I have a question for you, Mike.
Yes, fire away.
It's about my face.
Your face?
My face.
What about your face? I look at your face every day. It's a lovely face.
Okay, thank you.
Never tire of that face.
I am thinking of making an alteration to... I know I've got the world's worst beard, but what I'm thinking about doing is shaving my chin...
So just, I'm a beard expert. You know okay. that, don't you?
I'm going to just shave.
Move away from the microphone a little bit. What, you're just going to, are you going to go, you're going to go Paul Tuttle?
Yeah, but leave it on the sides too, uh-huh. though. See? Is that like too retarded?
You mean shave the chin itself?
So you have a long mustache, basically, that goes down to your chin?
Yes, but I also have hairs on the sides. Uh-huh.
You know what I would like to see, seriously? And I know you might think it's a departure and you can always grow back. You're going to get rid of this, right? The chin stuff.
I'm thinking about it.
Get rid of the chin stuff. And get rid of the sides and just have the Fu Manchu for a little bit.
Oh.
Well, can I be honest? I'm not trying to put you down here. I'm really not. Okay. I mean this only in the best possible
way. Okay, tell me.
You want to get rid of the chin. You want to get rid of the stuff in here. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I just...
And just leave it on the sides. Do you want it to still circle your chin?
No.
Or do you want to just get rid of this altogether?
No, I was just thinking...
Because really, if you had a heavy beard and you were going to get rid of this, then you would have the ye olde 1800s yeah, look with exactly. that... You'd basically have lamb chops.
But I don't because I am tragically stuck in that, like, 18-year-old boy body as far as the hair from my ear down to my jaw.
You know what I would do first? What I would do first, absolutely first, is I would take it off of here all the way up to here. Take it off the cheeks. You got nothing there.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a series. It's a series of hairs.
Compromise.
Oh, you're killing me.
Take it down to just a jawline.
No, no.
Okay.
No, you get rid of that, you get a goat. You don't know the agony of someone who has never been able to grow a beard, okay? There is some facial hair that goes from my ear.
He doesn't have his anymore. He used to have a beard, too. We used to all have facial hair.
Him, he has to go shave at 5 o'clock today or he's going to have a full beard.
All right, here's what I don't understand. You're talking about eradicating the area that is...
The hairiest.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
Because right now, all it looks like, in a lot of cases...
My father was the same way as you. My father had the same kind of, like, lack of facial hair.
Sparse on the cheeks.
And an old Maine fisherman, lobsterman, Harold Dow. That was the guy. And I swear to God, that's the guy's real name. I know everybody knows that's from the Maine area, that there's a book called Bert Dow, and the Dow name is used, like, in Maine. This guy's name, I swear to God, was Harold Dow. God bless him. Used to chain-smoke cigarettes. He was the harbor master. And he would sit at the top of the harbor with his truck, just looking down at the dock, and he would chain smoke all day. He was there all day. As he got older, he didn't go out on his boat as much as he stayed in his truck. And my father, one year, tried to grow a beard. And Harold Dow was walking down on the dock, and my father said, well, Harold, I'm changing my look. I think I'm growing a beard. And Harold Dow looked at him and paused a second, and he looked in, and he said, well, yeah, why don't you put some cream on that and have the cat lick it off?
Thank you.
I love that story. Great story. I really do. And what he was saying is, you know, why bother? Mm-hmm. But you have heavy facial hair right where, you see where I have it right here?
Right where I don't want it, on my chin. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where it grows like it's going out of control.
But eliminating that chin, you're saying you don't want the Fu Manchu. I'm saying if you want to get rid of that, I don't know. You trim it a lot, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's
always
just,
neatly trimmed.
Here's the thing, and that just piggybacks on something else.
Why don't you color it? Seriously, I color every now and then. I go from being gray to being black to being brown to being blonde.
That day ain't gonna happen.
I like coloring my beard. I have a lot of fun doing it.
Listen, this all leads into something else about my appearance.
Really?
That we also had another very frank discussion last night about the entire scooter thing. And I
want to weigh in on that because I've got a story from last night.
Well, I'm going to get a scooter. I hope your story will not defer me from getting a scooter.
Let's say it won't.
Well, or the way that Mike's looking, let's say it will.
All right. Can I just get this out of the way? Let me just get this off my chest, all right? Please.
I must have some sort of cool facial hair if I'm going to be driving a less than masculine motorbike.
Last night, Carl and I went out to dinner. We were coming back from dinner. We were in separate cars. I don't know what it is lately, but all I know is that I have had more people cut me off, pull out on me lately. I don't know whether it's the moon cycle. And I am talking about on the way home on a little Route 28 in Virginia, two cars. One was a car carrier, okay?
Wow.
That just, with two lanes of traffic coming straight at him, just decided that he was going to take his left turn and pull in front of everybody. I mean, going 45, 50 miles an hour. That was one. And then another guy comes out, another trailer with a U-Haul, and just non-thinking pulls out. And it happens twice.
What does that have to do with the scooter?
This was the last part of the puzzle.
Here it comes.
I come up, and I'm doing about 45. It's dark, but I'm paying attention. And I swear to God, I'm driving along. Maybe it was the angle of the light. And I come up on this, and I swear to God, I went, oh, my God. And I jammed my brakes on because I could hardly see the bottle cap red light that was on what I believed was the bicycle in front of me.
That's what you would tell the authorities.
And then as I slow down, I finally slow down, and I hear.
Get out of here.
Hold on a second. I'm not trying to say you're not getting it.
Out of town.
I am saying if you get it, be very careful. And for God's sakes, don't take it out on a 45-mile-an-hour street when it only goes 40 miles an hour and at night when nobody can see you. And I went by this guy.
Listen, the whole reason I'm getting this thing is I'm afraid to get a motorcycle. I'm not going to be taking it on dirt roads in the middle of the night.
It's not a dirt. What do you mean dirt road? I wasn't on a dirt road. I was on a major interstate.
Mike O'Mara's dirt road.
My dirt road. No, you know what he had? I get back and I'm like, maybe it's seriously, I thought it was a moped. And when I got by, no, it was a scooter. And it was a guy on a scooter, a large guy on a scooter. And he had not the full helmet, not the half helmet. He had the full face cage helmet, you know, with the face bar that goes in front. Wrist back going, and he's cruising along. I mean, that was his primary mode of transportation.
I'm telling you, that was me when I went to test drive that thing a couple of weekends
ago. I am not saying don't get one. I am saying beware, and certainly, put those things where they belong, which is like, I don't know, on the sidewalk or something like that. Because, I mean, they really.
Please.
Well, no,
please.
It's dangerous to have them out.
Stop it.
It's dangerous.
Get a light-colored one with a lot of big lights on it you can be seen.
Why don't I just get a big Tampax? And just put wheels on a big tampon.
I think a scooter is a great idea. I think a scooter is a great
not
idea.
As cool as
I
a
frankly
scooter.
Think if you had the inclination, but you won't do this, and I know once you're set in your ways, you won't do what you don't want to do, but you could get the best training and be so completely confident on a motorcycle.
I'm not getting a motorcycle. I'm getting a scooter, and I don't care what you say. I'm going to cut my hair. I mean, my facial hair. And it's going to be cool.
May I make a suggestion?
And you're gonna wish that your facial hair was as cool as me. Mike, who could grow a beard in 3 days.
I don't have that heavy a beard. I really don't have that heavy a beard.
Literally,
I don't like my gray hair. That's why it doesn't show up. It's almost translucent.
Let me offer this.
What?
You want to get rid of the sides and perhaps the goatee and then focus on a mustache, but maybe just a small one.
I have an idea.
Like
seriously.
Just like this one.
What makes a Nazi?
Hold on, about an inch.
How does he get that way?
Hold on. Great idea.
Huh?
I have a great, fabulous idea.
What is that?
This requires your help.
Okay.
This requires Rob's help.
Sure.
Everyone knows that on the show, compared to Buzz, me, or you, no one can grow a beard faster than Rob.
No, that's true.
Why don't we do this? And Rob also has, right now, a completely full beard.
Yeah, I need to trim.
And Rob changes his beard every hour. I mean,
why don't
we try and take
use
pictures.
Use me as a template?
Yes. Take the pictures
Absolutely.
Of Rob with the different configurations, and you can see
the
way to do it.
Do you remember?
You
is that a good idea?
Yes. Do you remember when you were paying me as a challenge to not cut my hair, and then I shaved in stages?
Right.
There was all kinds of ways we went with, like, the Teddy
remember
Roosevelt.
Remember that with Rob? Because Rob had the big mutton of the lamb chops.
Cut your chin hair off tomorrow, please.
Okay. I'll look good. Yeah. It'll be nice. Very 1870s.
So you just want the chin hair to be
I want to see what that would look like on Rob.
All right. Okay. You'll have three different possible templates because I'm getting a haircut this weekend. So we can go with three things. It'll come off in stages.
So it'll be chin.
Chin tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Or should it be?
The chin should be the first thing to go.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But see, I just got to look
cool. Or should I just shave half?
What I'm thinking is to make it. Well, no. See, he wants to.
Excuse me, Mike. I'm in the room.
Yeah, he has headphones on and everything.
And now you're
Mike.
Looking at me. What was that, like the cuckoo thing? What was that?
Well, why do you want to shave your chin and not anything else? I don't know. Why are you so enamored of this stuff you have on your cheeks?
Okay. Why is it that the grass is always greener on the other side? Haven't we had this discussion the entire 20 plus years you've known me? I have always wanted to grow a beard.
And I am saying
that. And have never been able to.
Then why don't you, but you have now, why don't you get rid of the area that is least fertilized on your face, the side cheeks where there is really no beard to speak of, and keep the place that's
hold
thick.
Hold on. Look at that. That's hair.
Well, wait. Hey. If you take your headphones up, yeah. Do you have any sideburns above that?
You faggot. Yes, I do.
I don't see them.
Look.
Oh, there's something there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
But between
what?
You don't shave that, do you?
No.
All right.
What do you mean? I don't shave what?
What I'm saying is, you could keep the fairly long sideburns, then get rid of the stuff on the side, and you could leave.
Listen,
the perfect goatee.
I'm just gonna be as cool as Fonzie. That's all.
Well, he had no beard at all.
I'm thinking about that too.
Yeah. Well, Elvis never had any beard.
You don't look bad without a beard.
Thinking about that too.
Dye your hair black?
Shut up.
We're just spitballing.
Can we still shave the boy?
Oh, sure.
I know. That Mike's rooting for that.
I always like it when we can shave you.
Come in tomorrow looking like William Howard Taft.
And Buzz, why don't you grow yours back too?
I could.
For tomorrow.
Didn't we have a time when we had photographs taken where we all had big, like, mustaches, black mustaches?
I don't recall that.
I thought we had. Maybe, all right. Maybe I was drinking.
Maybe you were drinking.
I'm sorry. I thought we had a picture.
I went down to see Joe.
I thought baby animals. I thought that I seriously had a big bushy mustache and beard, and Buzz did, and Don did, and I think you did. And when we had the picture taken, I made some reference to it looked like Tombstone or something.
There was
like
a time
that.
We all had beards.
We all had big beards.
That's true.
I don't remember that. I always had little beard.
Well, your beard has gone gray, and so it's less like mine has, and so it shows up less when it's gray.
Right. Sucks. Uh-huh. I got to do something to be tougher. I got to do something to look more macho because I'd be driving a scooter.
How about a Goulet mustache? Pencil thin.
That's David Niven mustache?
Yeah.
He said manly.
I saw Steve Martin, that comic.
Yeah, well,
I saw him on the Today Show today.
I'm not getting a mustache like him for the Pink Panther.
That was magnificent.
Did you see him on the Today Show?
Yeah, he was funny.
Legendary Stain.
I'm not getting a John Waters mustache. Don't even throw that out there.
I won't even say Wayne Newton.
I know we don't have that argument anymore because we both acknowledge that both our guys have been lame. But when you write the children's book,
that's like throwing in the towel. Just
forget it.
Steve Martin?
Yeah.
If you want to commit some time to it, how about the Raleigh Fingers look?
You have to have the long hair to wax.
Yeah, but you have to grow it out.
Just get out.
We're spitballing.
Just step away, please.
I think you'd look really good.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye then.
And because Dumbledore is gay, I'm going to grow my goatee longer.
Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome, Charlie.
Pointy.
Yeah, pointy. I'm going to tie it in a braid.
Mm-hmm. That is one move I could do. I see cats all the time, you know, like young cats with shaved heads who've got that nothing but the chin hair going.
Right. Why don't you shave your head?
Yeah, there you go. Why don't you just kiss my hiney?
Well, you're asking for advice to be macho.
No, I'm not. No more advice.
Get a gold hoop earring.
No more advice, Mike.
Mr. Clean. You don't look bad with it. Haven't we both shaved our heads for bets over the years?
Yeah.
We both didn't look bad with our head shaved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got news for you. I do.
You looked okay.
No, I didn't.
You had a round, did you?
I looked like I was in that movie, The Dream Team.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Miss those jingles.
Mm-hmm. Can we take a moment to think about what's happening out in California?
We'll be right.
Gosh, I hope John Cryer is okay.
Oh, yeah, he's in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, come right back and talk to Tommy B.
Yeah, a big night on Dancing with the Stars last
about
night.
Marie Osmond Good. Passing out last night, passing a kidney on Dancing with the Stars. We'll be Ouch. Right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Looks like baby vomit.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's go to our head judge first, Len Goodman. What did you think, Len?
Well, you know, for the amateur dancer, for me, this dance, the samba, is the hardest one to master.
I agree.
There's lots of different rhythms going on. You have to do steps on the spot. You have to move around the floor. You've got to get this elusive bounce action going. And, of course, you've got to show the gaiety and the fun of the samba.
All right, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back, and we'll be right back after this.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
Broadcasting from In of Doors, the Don and Mike Show.
How about the fact that the audience really had an honest laugh when she fell down?
Yeah, like she might have been faking it, and then they had the moment where everybody was confused. And great reaction shots. I thought the technical director kept his head together and kind of showed everybody's reaction to what was going on. And then they, like a trooper, she came back in the next segment.
Yeah. That's Marie Osmond last night on Dancing with the Tards.
She hit the ground. She passed out was what happened.
Mm-hmm. Collapsed.
Yeah, she was down. Where's that? Down goes, where's that clonk? Clonk, God.
Down goes Frasier.
All these buttons move all the time.
I know. I'd love to do that to you.
Hold on, no. You know what? Hold on, it used to be right there.
That was a laugh track.
We'll be riding wildfire.
Ah.
There it is.
All right, update. I just talked to my girlfriend during the commercial.
How are things?
Things are great.
Good.
First, no shaving in my future. She likes it the way it is.
Oh, there you go.
We're getting a scooter. We'll figure out how I'm going to look on that thing.
All right.
More importantly, she received a phone call from Mr. Philadelphia.
Hey.
Wow.
Hey, yo.
He thought it was funny yesterday. He doesn't think it's funny today.
Ah.
So Janet has got no dog in this fight, particularly. He's a business acquaintance.
Uh-huh.
She would like me to say that what we did discuss was what his wife told Janet, a product that she bought at Nordstrom called Chinny Thin Thin. It makes your jowls less jowly, and she also uses age cream for her decollete. And her decollete is the area.
It's the chest.
Yes.
It's the chest above the breast.
So she's not actually had work done.
No. Right.
But she buys magic cream.
Ah,
well, talks about it.
I'd like to throw a little on my decollete too.
And the product is called Chinny Chin Chin.
The hair would get in the way, though. There's that pesky hair again. Mm-hmm. My decollete covered with a fine sheet of hair.
Let me just say to my friend in Philadelphia, you know, she's not my wife. What can I say? But if you don't want her blabbing about Chinny Thin Thin and decollete creams.
Right.
Well, tell her not to be blabbing about that when we're out having dinner together.
How does that address the chewing on the socks comment?
Well, that's just a problem he has, Mike.
I'm just kidding.
That's just a problem with breath. Anyway.
Love to meet him.
Nope, we're not going.
That's a shame.
So we're not going.
So the next time you and I go up there, we're not going to have to, meet this guy.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'd like to meet him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oops. What happened there? Robbie, do these things just need to be reset?
Again?
Again. I don't know. While we're waiting for that, it's time for Fantasy Football Week 7 update.
May I say something before you start?
Yeah.
I'd like to say to all the members of the league, keep trying, guys. Because I think you could get to my level if you try really hard. I really think if you want to be in the elite, you know, you work a little harder, you consult your general manager, topper lineup.
All right, Mike, keep in mind.
Or just have a lucky
keep
run.
Keep in mind, even though you had Tom Brady, who was worth 50 points.
Right. Yes.
You still only had 20 more points than me for the entire week.
Yeah. I was speaking specifically about record.
Well, you are running away with it at this point.
Thank you.
Let's get to it.
Let's do.
Week 7 results. Rob A, 102.
Run the table!
Our departed producer, John, 62. Buzz Gurdley, 91.
Uh-huh.
Bart Source, 56.
How about that?
Mike O'Mara, 132.
Oh!
Joe, 76.
Wow!
And Don, 112. And Matt Pollock, 70.
And the standings now? Hey, you read them every week. Come on.
You are. You know, you got some of that guy in you. Some of that Philadelphia guy in you.
Sure. Hey, don't we all brag when we do well? Come on.
Here we go with the dumb division.
Yes.
Mike, 6-1.
6-1. Almost perfect.
Johnny Deadman, 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
Bart, 2-5. Matt the Pollock, 2-5. In the dumber division, Joe and Buzz are tied at 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
I am 3-4. And Rob is bringing up the rear at 2-5.
But he is still maintaining his prediction that he's going to run the table.
And I prefer to say my record. I'm one game out of second place.
Are you still holding fast to that
I promise you it's
prediction great. That you're going to run the table?
I won with LaDainian on the bench. He was off fighting fire.
Did you hear about LaDainian, though?
We'll be riding wild.
Evacuated.
Was lucky that the fire hit on his bye week, so he had time to get all the stuff out of his house.
Well, it's going to be an interesting finish to the season. I'm smelling Super Bowl.
So I'm pretty sure this lady had chinny thin. It's not chinny chin chin. It's
chinny thin?
Chinny thin thin.
Chinny thin thin?
Mm-hmm. She actually took this product out and was using it in the ladies' room.
So it's chinny thin thin. What, it's supposed to, like, reduce your jowls?
Yeah. And the other.
How can a cream do that?
Tightening up the skin.
I saw someone using it, and I would like to say to Nordstrom's, the product does not work.
Well, I'm sure maybe she's going to be getting another phone call.
I was with a lady who applied it in between drinks and going to a show.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's where Janet heard all this stuff.
And what do they call that again on the chest?
It's the
décollage?
Décollé.
Décollé.
Décollé?
The décollé.
Décollé.
Décollé is like you've talked about this. We've talked about this on the show before, where you have freckles, you know, where certain women have freckles, and you don't like it. I kind of think it's sexy when a woman has some freckles there.
Yeah, but I don't like it when a woman's got so much makeup just painted on her face that it looks like she's got one skin type to her Adam's apple.
A la Victoria Lord Poon.
Yeah,
she's a big one with that just nasty-looking burned décollé.
VLP.
Vicky, Erica Slezak.
Right. All right, so anyway, the product, Chinny Thin Thin, get it at Nordstrom's. I wonder how much that costs. Hey, Robbie, give me a number of a Nordstrom's, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Or just pull it up on the website.
If you happen to see the football in America on Sunday night with Keith Olbermann?
Happen to, yes, sir.
The picture of Larry King.
Oh yeah, he had a great picture. It's on the internet. Larry King, is it the one with his hair?
Yes, with the hair with the wind blowing up arm and the old man hair sticking straight up in the air.
Yeah, Keith Olbermann has turned out to be. I'm going to change topic here for a second. Pretty good on that Sunday night show.
Right.
At first, I thought he was a little too political,
but
now he's just the perfect mix of mocking and making fun. And
this isn't his regular show, right? This is a different show that he does.
This is the show he does on Sunday night with Bob Costas.
Okay, all right.
That's on before the football game.
Mm-hmm.
I posted it into Don and Mike website, but it hasn't been approved yet, so hopefully it gets up there soon.
Are you one of those people that has a problem with that?
Well, sometimes it happens.
Can I ask you a question? We get emails at our website. Why do you internet folk get so mad that if you post something to our message board, it doesn't go up immediately? Why do you?
Oh, no, I'm not mad about that. I was just saying, when it goes up, you'll be able to see the picture.
Have you posted stuff before?
Yeah, with no problem.
I mean, we appreciate all the people that post stuff, but there's a process that we have to go through, and I guess some people get very irate about
it. At this point, really, John handled a lot of the website stuff.
Right.
So I'm able to get in and look at a little of that stuff that I didn't look at before, and I see a bunch of emails from people like, hey, how come this message board doesn't post right away? Who gives two frigs?
Well, God knows what we'd get up there if we didn't have some, screening process. I mean, you have to be kind of careful. You know, you really do. If you could post anything, you know, then all of a sudden we have the FBI knocking at our door.
I know. Hey, I thought that would be funny, Don and Mike. I really did. I thought that this particular pornography was perfectly legally acceptable.
Well, we do have a lot of legal porno on our website.
Legal porno.
We do.
Yeah, but you know we wouldn't if we didn't have, you know the stuff that's been screened, too. You
we
know?
Ever check our bookmark? Check our bookmark. Mm-hmm. It comes up as CBS Radio.
I got a weird one today. Like in my, I got a regular email, and it wasn't spam. It was. It came into my normal box today, and do you know what it said?
What?
It was a lady that said, "I'm from Britain. I have an art business, and I'm giving you the chance to make $2,500 a week."
Uh-oh.
And I don't know if anybody has gotten this scam. Obviously, I think it's a scam.
Sure.
And she said something along the lines of, "You could make $2,500 a week. All you have to do is cash my cashier's checks for my business and send me the money, and I will give you 10% commission on top of this." It was the biggest scammy thing. I was terrified by it.
I hear about that all the time. Right. I've never actually received one of those dumb come-ons.
I go through my junk mail, in the other mailbox, and I delete everything. This is one that came to my regular email, and so I read it. And she says, because I have a business, uh-huh. I cannot cash the cashier's checks. Right. Americans like to pay with cashier's check. I can't do it. I need you to send me the cash. Right. You'll be getting your first cashier's check soon. Just give me your name, your cell phone, and your address.
Uh-huh.
That's
and that was
incredible.
That was the come on. That was it. Now, yeah. Who knows what the deal is.
I only get spam, and it's always like from a friend from your past.
Right.
And I open it up as like, "How would you like to buy Viagra in Canada?"
I get that Viagra stuff all the time.
Here's my latest spam, and it scares me. I'm getting like a dozen of these a day that says returned mail. If you've emailed somebody and use a bad address and it bounces back, that's what these look like, and I'm getting a dozen of those a day.
It's a lot of crap going on lately.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
John from Placerville calling.
Hi there, John.
I have got the celebrity that Rob most resembles.
All right, lay it on us.
He is a gentleman that has a political talk show on television. His name is Glenn Beck.
Yeah. Oh, no, listen. Rob is...
Glenn Beck is a little a little slighter than I am, Rob.
Glenn Beck is Mr. America.
Right.
Compared to...
Sorry, so Rob looks more like Jeff Beck.
Our guy, Robbie. Hello. Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was just calling about... Don's talking about with that email he got, the scheme. It is a fraud. I've got him before, and I've heard other people talking about it. It's a scheme, ways to get money from him and not actually make money. But bye!
Is he talking about what I was talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
He was trying.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, that's a big eBay scam. They're all fake cashier's checks.
All right, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, my friend.
So, but it's amazing, what worries me when I see that, and I hear, I've seen on 60 Minutes, they profiled some of these scams, they exist in other countries, and that's one of the ways they're getting away with it, is if you send that cash over to another country, that's right. It, that's gone.
It's hello,
gone
Don and Mike Show, what's up?
Hi.
Hey,
also, I heard that they were just trying, because it'll say, don't send P.O. boxes. Physical addresses only, and they're trying to steal all your information that way. And
identity
then
theft.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, the internet's a crazy place.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
If you're one of the people that does email our website all the time, we are going to try to get some more posts up there, so please bear with us.
Okay, can I ask a question? This is a legitimate question that I would pose to the audience, too.
Yeah.
I'd love to know, since I've got this, I held on to this thing, and I'd sure as hell like to report this if this is a scam. I'd like to know what channels you go through to get that person.
You got Tom?
Tom Bergeron on line 9.
Oh, very good. There we go. All right.
The self-loathing. Tom Bergeron from Dancing with the Stars. Hey, Tom.
Yes, I'm currently backstage Dancing with the Stars, loathing myself.
Oh, you're wonderful to call us. We appreciate it, Tom. And what a great time to talk to you after the big deal last night. Huh?
Holy moly, huh?
Please, please, please tell us, tell our audience, you actually appeared to be concerned as you. That's not a put-down. You were concerned as you went to break.
Of course I was.
Did you think for a split second, oh, my God, this is what I'm going to be remembered for, the day that Marie Osmond croaked on TV?
No, here's what I thought. God's honest truth. I thought my gut instinct was she had fainted. However, not being a doctor, I had no idea. It could have been an aneurysm, a stroke, a heart attack. So my first thought was, get us the hell off the air.
And you know, you did go to commercial. I thought your technical people handled it very, very well. Obviously, though, the one thing I remembered, and going back and looking at it a couple of times, she did appear to be, you know, she really wasn't moving at all when you went to commercial. How long after you broke for commercial, because she came back in the next segment, how long did it take for her to get it together?
Not very long, actually. I would say it was less than 30 seconds when she started coming around again. Her eyes started to flutter open, and then she saw me, Jonathan, the EMT, and her manager hovering over her. And that's when she said, first thing out of her mouth, oh, crap.
Right. Wow.
Now, you got to know that she is so safe in the voting right now.
Oh, sure.
Seriously, she could come out like Heather Mills, just pop off a leg.
Look, I will tell you this. I don't let the producers tell me until just before I tell you who's leaving. They, of course, know who that is at this point. And I was just talking with Conrad Green, our executive producer, on the stage. And he said it's going to be a surprise tonight.
You know,
What could that mean? What could that mean? That
well, I thought, you know, for me, I'm going, okay, Mark's thought he's going to leave for the past few weeks.
Right.
So if he doesn't leave again, that's not really a surprise.
This is the tough part of the show, because really.
That's the tough part.
But also at this stage of the show, I mean, the performances each and every week are getting better and better and better. So
exactly.
It is, it's tough to make that call.
Maybe it's that soap opera boy.
I think it might be the soap opera guy.
You think Cameron?
Yeah.
But what if?
Well, they seem. I'll give you this. They seem to be of a mind that we're all going to be shocked, whoever it is.
Well, I want you.
And
to
I
know.
Think you're right. I think the cast is strong enough this season that we're at the point where pretty much anybody could be voted off, and we'd be kind of shocked.
Tom, you must do something. It's live TV. You were beautiful. Yes. You were beautiful last night in the middle of a crisis.
Thank you.
If somehow it comes out to be Marie Osmond tonight. You've got to do that thing that was alleged that they did for Jack Palance at the Academy Awards, or for whoever it was, when Jack Palance read the wrong name, allegedly.
Oh,
What's her name? Minnie Driver, whoever.
No, it was the gal. Oh, what's her name?
I know we're talking about the Academy Awards where he actually faked it, right?
She won for My Cousin Vinny.
Yes, exactly.
Marissa Tomei.
That's her.
Right.
And I've got an even better idea, Tom.
And the story was that maybe her name wasn't really on the envelope.
And I don't think this will be in bad taste, Tom. In the event that Marie Osmond is voted off the show tonight, you pass out. I just think it'll be a perfect.
I will drop like a sack of potatoes.
So, Tom, it's exciting being the self-loathing Tom Bergeron. But
where did we find that? That was in a magazine article, wasn't it?
That's yes. The whole thing that intrigued us about you.
Host, Entertainment Weekly or something like that.
Yes, it was. It was in the sound bites part where they had what a down to earth guy you were, but really there was this other side to you. But now that we know that that's not true, it's funny to call you the self-loathing Tom Bergeron.
I know.
And more importantly today, what kind of response today are you getting? This is the biggest thing since who knows what with reality TV.
Oh, really is. I mean, the show's hot to start with, but this type of thing, you know, thank God nobody was seriously hurt. But the fact is, this gets an amazing amount of buzz. This is what people are talking about across the country today.
It's interesting to me because the questions come sort of one after the other. Is Marie okay? Is usually the first one. And then the one that surprises me actually is when people say, well, how did you keep your composure? And really, at that point, I didn't care that I was on television. I was just concerned about Marie.
Yeah, you have to react that way. Right.
It was just a very logical thing for me to do to get us off camera so we could take care of her.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever consider mouth to mouth, Tom?
Well, if I did, she'd be among those I would consider. Yeah.
You know, I watched the whole thing last night, and watching that show, it seems to me that the reality of it is when you go to the dance studios where people are rehearsing, and you get a lot of reality there, because it seems like some people have genuine concern for each other. There's a little chemistry there. Then there seem to be some people that are really at swords points. And does that happen every season? I love that part of it. I really do.
And a lot of that is based on the teaching style of the pros. You know, Tony is more of a, I said to Jane, I said, I think you might be suffering from Stockholm syndrome. whatever Tony says, you do.
Yeah, he's pretty intense.
He's pretty intense, but as she also says, the proof's in the pudding. They look great together. She is marvelous to watch. She's so elegant out there.
I would like to see a woman wear constantly wear those outfits in everyday life. I truly would.
Agree. I ask Edita to just wear the one from last night any old time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I speak for most men that watch the show. I'm so glad that the lady is back, that the nice lady that had the baby is back.
Oh, yes.
I'm so glad.
Samantha is still stunning. She's looking wonderful.
She is a radiant new mom. She's all gushy about Jocelyn, too, which is very sweet.
She is why God invented high definition.
Mommy boobies.
She's beautiful.
Well, you're doing great on the show, Tom, and we love talking to you about it.
Are you nervous about tonight's show? Because everybody's going to be watching tonight to see what the true deal is with Marie. You're going to have such a gigantic tune-in audience tonight. Are you nervous?
No.
Nah.
No, I'm too busy self-loathing to be nervous.
You're too busy being a pro. A pro
That's
who's
right.
self-loathing. I like that.
Well, Tom, it is always great to talk to you. We are rooting.
Same here.
We are rooting for your success.
Yeah, really. Good luck with everything, and we really do appreciate you coming on the show. We know your time was probably in demand today with the whole Marie Osmond thing.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Always is.
And, Tom, you should know that later today on the show, we plan on listening to every year we review the Jerry Lewis telethon. And did you or did you not host a couple of hours of the overnight coverage?
I did. Here's a quick story, if you got a moment. I did midnight to 8, and among the weird acts that they book in the overnight was a guy called Bob the Spoon. And what Bob the Spoon did was come out, and with a track of Flight of the Bumblebee going behind him, he played spoons on his leg. It's 3 a.m, they cut to me after he's done, and I say on live TV, I said, so I'm watching Bob the Spoon, and I'm thinking, what the fork is that?
Bob the Spoon.
Well, we'll hear it.
That'll make the big bucks for the cause, won't it?
Absolutely right.
Tom, you're a great guy. Thanks for coming on again. Everybody knows Dancing with the Stars tonight. Find out who goes home. Mm-hmm. ABC 9, Eastern 8 Central. Tom, and last question. Are you okay with the fires?
Yeah, it actually got a little scary yesterday where I live. We saw planes flying overhead and dropping all of the things, fire retardant and fire engines were on the mountain crest across the valley from us. But I would be affected by the Malibu Canyon fire up into the area around the 101.
Yeah.
And I'm looking okay. Some friends, though, in San Diego have been evacuated, and their house, they don't even know if they have a house, actually.
Well, good luck to everybody out there.
Thanks so much. And Jane Seymour was evacuated from her place in Malibu.
God, she's had a tough enough month, hasn't she?
I'll tell you. I hope it's not her tonight. She's had enough crap come down on her.
Well, screw them and their problems. You've got America's number one TV show to focus on tonight, Tom. Uh-huh. All right, go out there and give us your A game tonight.
Take care, guys.
Right,
bye, Tom.
Bye-bye, Tom. Bye. Self-loathing, Tom Bergeron.
He likes it, I think. I do believe that. I do believe he likes self-loathing, and we'll see more of him tonight on Dancing with the Stars. A little drop out there.
All right. Okay, welcome back to the show. Just so you know, Marie is fine. You're about to see her backstage as she awaits her scores. And I want to just quote her exactly. She passed out. She fainted, as you saw. And the first words out of her mouth when she saw us all leaning over her were, oh, crap. So she is a trooper indeed. And she's backstage with Jonathan waiting for their scores.
I'll tell you, a big scare had by everyone. We didn't know whether she had an aneurysm or just passed out on Dancing with the Stars. And I got hooked on it last night. I watched it this morning because I wanted to see, the whole thing about Marie Osmond.
Right.
And I found myself gravitating toward it for one reason and one reason only. Seriously, and you said it before, cleavage. That show's
mommy
got the,
boobies.
It's got the, and not just the chick that's the co-host on that show.
All of the ladies
had cleavage.
All the lady dancers on that show could have been in any of the finest gentlemen's clubs in America.
I mean, those dancers, the pros that they have that are dancing with the guys like Mark Cuban, wow.
Mark Cuban has nice cleavage.
Can I just tell you a problem, a general problem that I think a lot of guys find?
What's that? Besides Mark Cuban's cleavage?
With women. And hold on. Because I'm going to say something here that I think is going to make a lot of sense to a lot of guys.
Right.
If you're a guy that's with a girl and she says she doesn't want you to go to strip clubs, you know why?
Why?
It's because she thinks that the women in the strip clubs look like the women on Dancing with the Stars.
And they don't. 90% of the time they don't.
It's true. 95% of the time.
95%. And the 5% they do is at the Super Bowl when they bust them all in to the one place.
That's right. Both right.
That's otherwise, right. They don't look good at all. They really don't. But on Dancing with the Stars, it's a magnificent bevy of women with boobies. I'm dancing with the stars.
I'd love to go to a strip club with some high-quality, good-looking...
Oh, wouldn't you love to see those dancers? I mean, the women with those dancing bodies.
Mm-hmm. Right. Tight bodies. Take it off, baby.
Mark Cuban, though, I mean, watching that show last night, he is... Frankenstein. What would the surprise be? I guess the surprise might be the blonde girl that dances so well. I don't even know who she is. She's the sort of chunky blonde chick.
At this point, the only really knock everybody on their ass surprise would be if Marie Osmond got voted off, right?
Yeah, yes. But she wasn't all that great. I mean, she even before the performance, she wasn't all that great. If it's the sympathy vote, you know, I say damn with her for passing out. It doesn't matter to me one little bit. Butter off. Send the Osmond with her teeth home. I'm Dancing with the Stars.
All right. Thank you, Tommy B. We mentioned the Jerry tapes. We'll get to them at some point. Oh, and yes, I do want to find out more about Chinny Thin Thin.
Got it. Here's the answer. $48 for 1.7 ounces of the stuff at Nordstrom. It's called...
Well, hold on, Buzz. I think he was teasing. Weren't you teasing?
Yes, please. We're going to break, Buzz.
Oh, I'll tell you the real name of it then when we come back.
the medical name?
No. It's just that we've had the name wrong.
It's not Chinny Thin Thin?
No, not exactly.
Well, is it Cookie Puss?
What is it?
Finny Thin Chin.
All right, BFD. Same difference.
Uh-huh.
Be right back.
All right.
And in Walmart, they sell it as Fat Girl.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ooh, ho, 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 ho.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here is Alec Baldwin on how to sound like Al Pacino.
So young Al, you're going to be grinding the crowns off your teeth like this. Understand?
Okay.
You want to pitch your voice up very high.
Okay.
Very high.
Uh-huh.
Can you get up there like this?
I can get up there like this.
Can you go up here like this? Can you go up there and whine?
Why?
I want you to say the following line right now. You ready? Grind the crowns of your teeth like this.
Okay.
And I want you to say the following line. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're going to go for a walk.
We're going to go for a walk.
You're really fucking this up pretty bad. Come over here.
Okay.
We're going to go for a walk. I'm giving you the opportunity of a lifetime here. What are you doing? We're going to go for a walk.
We're going to go for a walk.
You and me.
You and me.
Without cuffs.
Without cuffs.
You f- me.
You f*** me.
I'm going to put one in your back.
I'm going to put one in your back.
All right. Thank you.
There he is.
I love that.
He's done such a great job to rehab his image.
Yeah, he is.
And I
want to
tell you something, okay? And I want to leave a message for you.
Right. Okay. Thirty Rock Thursdays at 8:30 on NBC.
And we grew up next to a municipal golf course, which was this nine-hole golf course.
That's so lovable now.
Did my brothers and I and the people we grew up with, we did on the golf course. We smoked our first cigarette. We drank our first beer. We smoked our first. You stuck your hand up Valerie's blouse in the golf course, you know. Okay, come on. Hey, come on. Don't act like you don't, you know.
These are students. They have to learn these things.
Are they strong? Listen, bud. They've got radioactive blood. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
How fast we forget.
Boy, when you play the whole thing.
All right.
Oh, wow. You play the thing in its entirety. I forgot about it.
Alec. Alec Baldwin. There
he is. Yes, sir. Angry Man.
Okay, here we go with Thinny Thin Chin.
It's Thinny Thin Chin?
From Nordstrom.
Right. Not by the hair of your Thinny Chin. Thinny Thin Chin?
That's now, right. I don't know if this is the stuff that they
chin. Yeah, is that a Carvel ice cream product?
I believe Thinny Thin.
Thinny Thin was his ice cream. Visited participating Carvel ice cream store.
I'm not sure if this is the same stuff the woman uses for her décolleté.
You know, if anything is part of, you know, something women rub on their chin now, what is cookie puss?
Hey,
guys. Hey, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Guys.
Yeah.
You gave me a paper that's got half of the stuff blanked out, guys.
Oh, look
see
at that.
See the description? Buzz, you got it there in front of you?
Let me see. I'll pull it back up.
Did you just have it a moment ago?
Yeah, I just printed out the page.
I can just read
on the website.
Bliss's new Thinny Thin Chin. And then the
Thinny
sentence,
Thin Chin.
And then the sentence just ends.
Hate it when that happens on a printer. Especially like when you were handed it and it was supposed to print out.
Well, they got because they wrote the price. Down.
I do have it. I can read it for you.
48 ounces. Please read it.
Or I can print it out.
Please read it.
Bliss Thinny Thin Chin. Bliss's new Thinny Thin Chin helps pick up the slack, seriously, with a dual action complex that tones and addresses signs of V-zone, the area from the chin line to the cleavage, aging, instantly and over time. Like a liquid bra, Thinny Thin Chin will help overhaul your overhang by firming, hydrating, and improving the appearance of necklines, crepiness, and hyperpigmentation. Bliss tip, make your neckline look slimmer in seconds by mixing Thinny Thin Chin with a bronzer or self-tanner, such as a tan for all seasons. Oh, that's good. Boy, Buzz, you sold it. Thank
now
you.
Now back to you, Dynamite. Uh-huh.
So that's the Thinny Thin Chin is the stuff. Well, it sounds like they're saying put that on the decollage or whatever.
Yeah, they just didn't use that word, décolleté.
They
called it the V-zone.
Well, now, Jan told me that this woman told her that she not only applied it to her chin and her jowl area,
right,
but also down...
To her décolleté.
Yeah, right, you know, below her neck.
I thought she had another product for her décolleté. It was the Thinny Thin Chin, the only product she used.
No, there was a product for the décolleté as well.
Décolleté.
Well, if the décolleté is the same as the V-zone, this would be that product.
I think she had, or maybe maybe this is the one for the area by the boobs, and there was some other.
Maybe it was like heavy cleavy.
some other magic cream that was supposed to make jowls go away.
It's kind of interesting they call that product Thinny Thin Chin.
Yes, that's correct.
Because, I mean, isn't it not by the hair of my chinny chin chin?
That was the
original. I associate that name with hair.
Uh-huh.
Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
And, hair makes me think nose. Makes me think.
Yes, whenever I think of hair, I think of nose, too.
Well, hold on. It's just how my mind works. Uh-huh. And then nose makes me think, of course, Halle Berry. And big nose, Halle Berry, and her Jew joke got cut out of Jay Leno's show.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't hear anything about this. No, I'm in the dark on this one.
Halle Berry was on Jay Leno last night, and she made a comment. They had, hold on, here's the transcript right here. She's looking at pictures. Hold on. The Oscar-winning star on to promote her movie, blah, 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 was showing Jay Leno.
She's in a new movie with Benicio del Toro.
Yes.
Right?
She was showing Leno and the audience pictures of herself on the computer using the Mac program Phone Booth. And that makes you look like you're in a funhouse.
Okay. Stretches your head out a little bit.
She introduced the first photo by saying, "Here's where I look like my Jewish cousin." It was a picture of her with a gigantic distorted nose. Nobody laughed.
Oh, God.
And Jay Leno nervously said, "I'm glad you said that, not me." When the show aired last night, they cut out the Jewish comment and just sweetened it with a laugh track.
Oh, really? Do we have that? Yes, there's Jay Leno's laugh track right there.
Do we have the actual tape?
We
don't.
Well,
Nobody watches
the Tonight Show. That's right.
Did you guys catch the ripoff with Halle Berry on the Regis Show today as well?
Oh, this is, you were telling me about this. This sucks. This is really, you know, if you're going to make the big deal about how you're flying across the country and you're working so hard, you got to give the whole thing to us.
So Jimmy Kimmel today is day number two, and already he was tired and grumpy doing the Regis Show.
Right.
And Kelly was grumpy because she flew all night with him as well.
Oh.
And they said, "We've got a big show today. We've got Halle Berry, got some other celebrity." I'm going, okay.
And there's part of me, I like you, I'm sure, where you admire them. I think it's a pretty good stunt, mm-hmm. and I think it is a lot of work. Anyway, you slice it going back and forth across the country, even if you're on the fancy private jet, it's a lot of travel time.
Especially for Jimmy Kimmel. Kelly Ripa's doing it one day a week.
She's already done, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel's doing it every day.
You're right.
Ridiculous. So I think, okay, I'll stay with this. They go, "We're back from commercial, and now we want to welcome to the show Halle Berry. She was here last week when Regis was here, and we taped this interview. So now, let's welcome Halle Berry." And they just go to a cut, and
it's cheating.
And Halle Berry comes from backstage, and it's Regis. And Regis is not there. And they do the interview, and they come back. And the thing's like 5 minutes long. I'll give Jimmy Kimmel some credit. He said, "Well, thanks for flying me all the way here so I could just watch TV with you."
Did he say that?
Yeah.
He's got a point.
Do you think they ever do that when Regis is there and not call attention to it? It would be so easy for them
to
do it.
What they would have to do would be for Regis to, like, wear the same outfit.
Match wardrobes.
You'd have to match the wardrobes if you got. I would imagine, you know how we get that all the time, where hey, they're not available for you in the afternoon, but if you can, you know,
tape it
with their schedule, you know that'll be fine.
I know a lot of times when I watch PTI, when they're going to go to a break, when they're going to come back with the guest, they're going to say, "We're going to come back with, from the Boston Red Sox, Joe Blow. And incidentally, we're going to change our clothes."
Oh, they say that.
While we do the interview with them. Then they come back in the next segment and they say, "Now we've changed back into the clothes we had on
before."
But
here's the cheat with this. The whole point is, the whole thing for this week is the Jimmy Kimmel. And why they're shoehorning the Halle Berry thing in there is surprising
to
me.
But, you know, their core audience is not that bright. I bet they could run an interview with Kathy Lee and no one would pick up on it. Clothes can change. Hosts can change.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes. Hi, is this me?
Not anymore. Terribly sorry. That's what Jimmy Kimmel will be saying on Friday.
I think somewhere on these phones, my apologies, all of these computer screens are dead now.
Mm.
So I got no idea who's calling with what, but I think women are calling about that cream.
Thinny Thin Chin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that stupid cream.
I have a Regis question for you. I mean, based on the schedule, will we see Jimmy Kimmel on Friday? Will he be doing the full week?
He's supposed to go all 5 days.
So unlike Regis, who takes Fridays off, we might see Jimmy Kimmel on Friday.
Right. Yes, I think
that's really the only day worth watching.
I think the schedule is he's doing both shows on Friday.
Okay, very good.
His show and that show. Hi, Don and Mike. What's up?
Can you? Hello.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, fellas, I have a dispute with Don about yesterday. I think the other three guys will agree, but Cindy Crawford is hot, man. She is not a horse.
You acknowledge that, Don.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I was getting her mixed up with somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I got a problem, generally speaking, with all of these super models. Not that they're not hot, but first off, if you're being realistic, they're totally unattainable for any of us right now.
Not for me.
Thanks for ruining it.
How dare you defoul the woman that I found and discovered myself to?
Defoul.
That
is defoul
ridiculous.
A word? Is defoul a word
no,
in the English language? I think how dare you for using a word that does not exist.
Anyway, I love the show.
You gotta find something better to beat meat with.
And it's, you know, if you're gonna use a D word when it's when you're talking about women, it should be deflower.
Oh. Right.
And that has no, you know, it's not like you're deflowering supermodels.
You deflower her by doing nasty.
I work with retards.
And
I've just got something about Mary on the brain.
I enjoy, I've always been this way. I like more the girl next door look than the fixed up supermodel. It's just a preference.
Right.
Just a preference.
And you're right about the super thin, you know, that looks like they're starving, the heroin chic. I agree with you about that.
Yeah, some of the supermodels nowadays, it's even more. They've been doing a lot of coverage of Gisele Bündchen down in Miami after Tom Brady was down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just too skinny. Ridiculously skinny. I think she's also about 6 feet tall.
Did she squeeze out his baby?
No, she's not the one that had his baby. It's another supermodel, I think, that had his baby. But he's hot and heavy with Gisele right now, and they showed her on the beach. And, yeah, I mean, she's a beautiful woman, but she looks like a stick figure. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Hey there, Don and Mike Show, what's up? But no, Cindy Crawford is pretty. I was speaking out of my ass yesterday, mm-hmm. just about supermodels in general. Hello?
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hey.
Hey, did you guys catch the Jaguars fan last night on Monday night when he stuck his face in between his spine and act like he was eating at the Y?
I didn't catch any Jaguar fan last night doing any such thing, but I'm sorry I missed it.
Oh, no, you can check it out on YouTube. It's called Jaguars Fan.
All
pretty
right.
Good. They cut away from him real quick, but it looked like he was doing something real nasty on TV.
Okay.
I sure like it when they do that nasty stuff on TV.
If you don't have education, then you can't hardly get a job.
I'm pretty sure you saw it. It was Jack Del Rio.
The guy looks like The Simpsons.
Yeah,
no, Family Guy.
Family Guy.
American Dad. Or right. Mr. Incredible.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Del Rio.
Hello.
Radio Gods.
Hi, what's up?
How are you? I was wondering if Rob had called The Price is Right where the contestants were calling Drew Bob when they were bidding.
Are they doing that a lot on the show? Are they calling him Bob?
Robbie?
I've not seen that.
Sorry. Rob is boycotting The Price is Right with Drew Carey. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
What are you doing, Robbie?
Just to be clear, I TiVo it every day and then delete it without watching. That's how I'll get them.
That's how you're protesting.
That's right.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
I got that piff for you.
Thank you. Bring it by the studio.
Get at me if you're interested.
You got it.
All right.
It's frozen, though, Buzz.
That's all right. It'll thaw.
You'll have to thaw it out.
I know how to thaw it.
No problem.
I know what would thaw that out.
We'll be riding wildfire.
And, you know, we didn't mention at the beginning of the show, but the hyperactivity of the news reporters, you hit me to it this morning, said you got to, you know, go out and look how they're whining about the celebrities' homes. But then I started watching all the coverage out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are just super manic. You know, try to contain the excitement.
Yeah.
You know, I know, you know, there are people that are losing their homes out there. Maybe you could be just a little less giddy and intense when you're giving me your man on the street reports. And don't trip over the firemen. That's, I saw another one. They're right next to the fire truck, and she wants to do a. There's a burning building across the street, mm-hmm. and she wants to do a little man on the street interview.
Yeah, I want to put the Arnold tape with a wildfire. Okay, here's Arnold. Hey, we didn't doctor this tape. You can doctor tapes.
Okay.
What he had to say about the situation.
We'll be riding wild.
We've been asking neighboring states to ask for help to get some of the resources and some of the fire engines and also airplanes and stuff like that. We've asked the federal government for help and to release some of the troops.
Yeah.
So we need as much help as possible. We are battling with this all over the state of California. There's 7-8 fires right now. We are stretched to the limit when it comes to the resources.
Oh, no.
We've been asking neighboring states to ask for help to get some of the resources and some of the fire engines and also airplanes and stuff like that. We've asked the federal government for
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, the fire engines.
You know, just stuff like that. You know, I'd forgotten he hasn't been in the spotlight in a while.
And the crazy explosions, and he says, I want to see this natural disaster again.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Can we get the some trains and fire engines and planes and stuff like that, please? We'll be riding
wild. We've been asking neighboring states to ask for help to get some of the resources and some of the fire engines and also airplanes and stuff like that. We've asked the federal government.
Hi, this is Governor Schwarzenegger.
We'd like some army men, toy army men.
Is there a chance that you could send the stuff like that across the state line for me? Dankeschön.
There's my chinny tintin.
Chinny tintin to make my decolle look a little bit better now that my pecs are starting to sag.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God.
Hey, what's happening?
Love you in Frisco. Hey, Tom Brady's first girlfriend that had the baby, Bridget Moynihan from iRobot.
Yes, Bridget Moynihan.
He's a busy, busy beaver.
He's a horny man.
And yes, why is it if it's Tom Brady, it's okay? You know what I mean?
Because he got me 50 points in my fantasy league.
There's the answer right there.
Don't be bad in Tom Brady.
I'm not bad in Tom Brady.
Don't be bad in him.
I'm just saying you can turn on TV any day and you hear about some NBA player and you go, oh, there you go again. Baby's daddy, and they presented like, well, there's another NBA guy, Johnny Appleseed,
right,
with his spunk going out there. But in this case, it's like, hey, Tom knocked up a baby, knocked up a supermodel, and he's such a great guy. Mm-hmm. He took a day out of practice to fly to California to be with her when she squeezed the baby out. Isn't Tom great?
Mm-hmm. Are you saying there's a bit of a racial double standard there? Is that what you're saying?
And incidentally, no one's thought to give any questions about what Tom's doing as far as being with this other kid that he squeezed out, because he's already moved on to the next supermodel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has. He's frolicking on the beach the day after they win in Miami. He's frolicking on the beach with her down there on Monday.
He's Tom Brady, though, and he's got that dimple in his chin.
Sure. Yeah, he's the Wonder Boy.
Do you want to know really why it's okay?
Why?
Because when no one could see him except me on a lipstick-sized camera, Don, and they played the national anthem, he put his hand on his heart.
Mm-hmm.
That is why.
And as far as the cost of having the baby and all that, he paid for the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, just with his own fantasy football league.
No, it was the Brady bill. I don't know why. I don't know why I said that.
Dear friends, we have to break.
Long way back.
Uh-huh. Hello, dear friends.
Thumbs up.
We'll be right back. Okay?
Jesus, yes.
That's bad.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That skank.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Today Show. Professional.
Meredith, we're going to put Trevor in the studio just to keep our lights going.
You want her up there now?
Meredith?
Yeah, Al, I'm actually not supposed to be here, but I'm here with Steve and Russ. Nice to see you. We'll be back with them in just a minute. No, you don't have to get up. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Caught me by surprise, Al.
Okay, da da da. Da, 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 da. Bam.
Hi, I'm Alan Carter, TV's Howie Mandel.
Bam. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hello, boys and girls. It's me, the Frito Bandido.
Something stinks. Sounds like stale French fries.
Well, what have we here?
Oh. Yeah, sure, boy. It's the Don and Mike Show, boy. Yeah, sure.
Sure,
it's funny, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Robbie, get out those Jerry tapes.
Oh, my God. Yes, please. Hey, whose screw up was that? Was that Al Roker's? I watched that today. Was that Al Roker's or Meredith Vieira's? I'm not sure. You think it was Al's?
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Think Al was supposed to go to commercial?
There would be no reason for him to throw it to Meredith when she was greeting and getting Steve Martin sat down on that set.
And they would tell Meredith where to go, too, right?
Exactly.
They would say, go in there and get ready.
Go to hell.
Go to hell, Meredith.
Get bent, Meredith.
All right, get your Jerry tapes out.
Oh, my.
Let me tell you, tomorrow on the show.
Oh, my.
Thank you, Charlie.
Let me see. I'm going to get into an in-depth discussion with you about the scooter tomorrow.
Okay. Well, and I'm incidentally, everything I was saying, even though I'd love to have you in the motorcycle community, I'm all for the scooter. You know that, don't you, right?
I hope you do, because I'm dangerously close to a decision
on that.
You'll
have a blast on it. Down at the beach, you'll enjoy it.
Also tomorrow.
Don't drive it to the beach.
Also tomorrow, we have to call this DJ in Indiana who is trying to set the world record for the longest radio broadcast in history.
Oh, it's a cheap publicity stunt.
He's one of those guys. But he's a college kid, I think. It's a college radio station.
Oh, well, all right. You can give him a free pass.
Sure. We'll give the cat a call maybe on tomorrow's show. Also, I mentioned the other day this crazy letter from this friend of mine from high school.
Yes.
Something worth maybe an entire hour on the show.
You showed me the handwriting.
Based just on the handwriting. Okay. Or maybe he's just a totally normal, well-adjusted guy who's just got really bad handwriting after 35 years in high school.
Maybe so.
And an article from trade publication Radio and Records.
Yes.
In which Michael Hughes is interviewed about the genius move to flip one of the radio stations that he manages to this environmentally friendly
the Globe.
Format.
Yes.
The green format.
Yeah, the green format.
Actually, it's the same records they played when they were classic rock. It's just now they have a hybrid car that they drive in and give away bumper stickers. Anyway, it's full of Hughes being Hughes. It is a two-page article.
He likes the print medium.
Oh, he loves it.
He enjoys being interviewed.
They have changed a few things over there. For now, on Surf is no longer run on electricity.
All right, just get your Jerry tapes ready. Get your Jerry tapes ready.
Weasel is environmentally friendly.
You're going to have an awful lot of time when I share this article with you tomorrow. You're going to have an awful lot of time to discuss Surf because Michael Hughes talks about how Surf was the brainchild.
Really?
For this whole...
Wonderful. Well, good for Surf.
Yeah. They took this radio station that was falling to the ground, and they gave it a new coat of paint.
Yes, they did.
Played the same amount of records, and now they're calling it environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. And there were things in there that I want to question Hughes about that I don't believe because it's CBS.
Okay.
Like, for instance, it said in this article that this radio station, 94.7, is totally run off solar power.
Oh, I'd have a hard time believing that.
I'm telling you.
I mean, could they make that kind of switch?
Now, it is
that quickly?
It is entirely possible that I'm misreading the article or that Hughes is throwing out things that
wouldn't
sound
it seem that
different.
Listen, if that's the first time you're hearing about it, wouldn't it seem if they'd made that move that they would have, I mean, they would have trumpeted that everywhere? And I don't remember hearing a lot about
that. I'm telling you, I'll bring the article in tomorrow.
That's fascinating.
It's one of the many things that I left at home today, along with my funny pills. God damn it, I need my steroids. I seriously do.
You need your funny steroids? You want the cream or the clear?
Yes.
You had to get down some of the HGH funny.
And remember, Buzz.
Yes.
You can't spell high without HGH.
HGH.
I remember.
You know what's funny? And I didn't mention this, speaking about a side note to Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. They had a big controversy before the game. Anybody that was watching it, you saw this guy, Paul Byrd, who, of all the players, I mean literally every player on the Cleveland Indians, this guy is the ultimate schlub next door.
Huh.
I don't know why, of all the guys
he's
who would
the
be
HGH
taking,
guy, right?
He's the guy that supposedly was taking the human growth hormone, and this guy looks like he should be working at a janitor in an elementary school.
Not but I don't even follow baseball as closely as you do.
Right.
I did see when they showed a tape of the same guy 2 weeks ago, this guy for Cleveland, talking about how he recovered from this injury he had, and he said, Well, he prayed a lot on it.
Yeah, he was doing that. You know, but he's a schlub.
He doesn't mention that he got, like, syringes and HGH from Orlando,
well,
right?
Well, here's the deal on this. He's the number three or even number four. He's the number four starter for Cleveland. He's at the back of the pack. The whole thing about this guy when he was pitching was, hey, he's a throwback to the old days. He pitches out of the old-fashioned windup, and that's what he does sometimes. He actually will do a double windup. That was the only thing I thought about this guy. And then you hear that he's getting hundreds of syringes and human growth hormone sent to his house. And I'm picturing, well, why doesn't the guy then look like Jason Giambi? Why doesn't he look like Hulk Hogan? Why is he still this little schlub? And then, of course, he's using the same defense which we've heard for years. My doctor, you know, I didn't take anything that wasn't prescribed by my doctor. And it was just interesting
That's what Elvis said.
Hey, if you have the right doctor, if you have a Dr. Nick, you're all set.
You can say that.
And the other thing that I wanted to mention before we get to the Jerry tapes, when we had that lady on from Curb Your Enthusiasm, the fat F lady, the one that's married
Susie
to Jeff
Orman,
Garland.
Right?
Yeah,
Susie what?
Essman.
And we asked her, is Larry David going to write his divorce into the show? And she said, no. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, if you watched it this past week, guess what? The wife left Larry.
Well, I think you're a connoisseur of that show, and even though that's been written into the plot line, would you agree that perhaps all his trials and tribulations may be having an impact on that show this year? A little bit, they don't really have the same edge that they've had in years past.
The one this week was pretty funny.
Was it okay? I haven't seen it yet.
Actually, the one with her leaving was maybe the best one of the year.
Well, it's so close to art imitates life. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
That's what I think. So all of that tomorrow. Oh, and flu shots tomorrow, too.
Oh, good. You know, I was told, Don, that when I've gone through both of my divorces on the show, I've never been funnier. So that's what I've always been told.
Agreed.
Never funnier than when I'm going through those moments.
That's what your wives said.
That's what the wives. Wives.
Wives.
Plural.
Wives.
Wives.
Rob?
Yes, Don.
Where were we when we left off with the Jerry Lewis 2007 Telethon of Stars for Crippled Kids tapes?
We were just this side of heaven.
Just this side of heaven.
Let me see this.
That means he doesn't remember.
Well, it's been days.
It's been months.
It's been
a while. It's been years.
Come on now, give us some credit. We are going to actually finish listening to these tapes.
That's great.
Okay, we'll see.
I recall we just finished up hour one, and if you want to reset, you can listen to cut number 18, and that'll let you know what frame of mind Jerry was in. It's in CD number one. Just go to cut 18.
Disc one, track 18.
So Jerry's been on the air now for 52 minutes. And
welcome
this is
back
how he sounds
to the Jerry tapes.
Uh-huh. Huh? Why now? I cannot believe that. 1 hour is done. And we're going to the local station. We hope you come back and join us for hour two. They'll be here shortly.
Hold on.
Thank you all so much.
Hold on. What is the new Brigewa? It's like, it almost sounds like.
Why now? I cannot believe that. 1 hour is done. And we're going to the local station. We hope you come back and join us for hour two. They'll be here shortly. Thank you all so much, and hit it.
All right, is it stroke talk a little bit?
I believe he is simply mimicking the new way DJs talk. Have you never heard today's modern DJ? Hey, how are you doing? We're here to talk about some beers and bongs and chicks.
1 hour gone.
I think it's a tooth issue.
Something's missing in his mouth. It sounds like a section of his tongue might be missing.
I think it's badly fitting or new teeth.
And we're going to the kicking hour.
I think he's trying to speak like today's young disc jockeys.
To Jerry, a young disc jockey would be 68.
That's Jerry. True.
All right.
But that's the end of hour one, so let's press on.
All right, here's Jerry finishing up hour one, batting 1,000 on reading cue cards.
Oh, good.
This next Emmy Award-winning and Grammy-nominated performer spent 10 years co-hosting Entertainment Tonight, then went on to pursue music full-time, and has now found great success hosting the syndicated radio show.
Listen, I know that I got the worst radio voice in the world, but I am hearing so many disc jockeys now doing this thing, and it's almost like Basement of the Science Building voice. You know what I'm saying? No matter what station you turn to on the dial, it's like,
right.
Your choice for the best rock. Rock lived on 98.7.
And in Jerry's case, I think it's just a loose upper plate.
Yeah, could be.
The Don John Tesh Radio Show, music and intelligence for your life. Here with a sneak peek new material from his upcoming TV special, Piano Gospel Dance. Ladies and gentlemen, John Tesh with the Las Vegas Mass Choir.
Wow, that's bad.
Nice. Wow. No pre-reading for Jerry.
He doesn't like it.
Next cut says, Jerry is gay for Law and Order.
I like that headline.
Larry, Jerry, also still reading badly.
Okay.
Thank you, Christopher. That was Chris, my man. Christopher Maloney. What a sweet man he is. This big ox that walks around and rips walls out. He is such a sweet man.
What?
Hey, by the way, if any of the Law and Order crew are watching, please tell Chris and Mariska for me. I love them, and they were terrific. And also say hello to Brian. Okay, this next...
Well, he was on the show. That's why, right?
Say yeah. Mariska. Brian who?
He never explains it.
He's some producer, probably.
Say hi to Brian.
Brian, I love him. Hey, Jerry, loose upper plate. Molars falling out. Stand by for a block of Zeppelin.
Are we done with the hour?
Various comedian is truly a dear friend of mine and has been for a long time. And a friend of MDA.
Oh, no. Not Norm Crosby.
Your buddy from the cruise ship.
Norm Crosby.
We are so thrilled that he is young, that he is joining us, rather, to again perform and also be...
Did you just say that he's young?
Yeah, that was...
So thrilled that he's young.
There it is.
Fine and has been for a long time.
Good.
And a friend of MDA. We are so thrilled that he is young, that he is joining us, rather, to again perform and also be the co-host, although he has a full schedule. He always makes time for us. Please meet him, Net Colfate. Roman Dallas Caden Bobadick. Here's Norm Crosby, ladies and gentlemen. There he is.
How do you analyze that, Rob?
I think that even at that point, Jerry realizes he's in over his head.
Yes.
And this it goes to complete, what he's done for 70 years.
It's a complete botch of a cue card.
For one thing, they are the worst written cue cards.
They're
bad. It's funny. When we're criticizing, one should not make that kind of a mistake.
I'm getting the spirit of the moment. They are the worst written cue cards in show business.
Guys, a moment. Yeah. While we contemplate the Santa Ana winds. We'll be riding
wildfire. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Now here we go. Ed McMahon teeters on the edge of slurring.
Give us something to root for here.
He's almost there.
Please welcome the President, Chief Operating Officer of Harley-Davidson, and MDA National Vice President, Jim McCaslin.
Here he is, right there with me.
There he is.
When Ed was doing it for The Tonight Show all those years, when he was Johnny Carson's announcer, you did not hear Ed say, Holly.
You're right.
Holly, did he develop this?
Here's more Ed blowing when he has to read.
Now here, representing Acosta Sales and Marketing Company, its president, chief operating officer, Harold Hill. Robert Hill, I beg your pardon.
Robert Hill, right here.
Harold Hill.
And that rhymes with tea.
In the exact same segment, here is Ed calling Jerry Johnny.
Okay. Good.
Here, Johnny is America's number one firefighter, the general president of the International Association of Firefighters, and MDA National Vice President Harold Schaefberger with a sample of IAFF local activities.
It was right at the very beginning.
Poor Ed, though, does have the burden of reading that garbage.
Right at the beginning.
Here's Johnny is America's number one.
Right, Johnny. He misses Johnny.
He does.
He does indeed.
This is a feeble end to hour number two of the telethon.
Oh, good.
We're going away. We want the local stations to identify themselves. And we're getting prepared for hour three. Thank you all very much, and see you later.
There's great entertainment yet to come. Celine Dion, John Androsic, and John Finette, and Ron Lucas. So don't you go away.
What a show.
Makes you want to have a telethon for the people that are putting on the telethons.
Exactly.
Right. Forget about the crippled kids.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine Celine Dion and John Panette?
Yes. Yes. John Panette eats Celine Dion.
All right. And once more.
Here's one that's called Ed McMahon, Let the Slurring Begin.
Oh, very good. Okay, yeah, they're getting into it now.
Let's welcome ERA Regional Vice President, Senior Vice President, MDA Vice President, P.J. Martin Smith.
Hi, P.J.
They're both doing that.
How are you? Nice to see you guys.
They're both doing the reading thing where they get to it and they finally slow down when they can really read it.
Here's Jerry Lewis now reading at a third grade level.
Oh, good.
As the front man for the successful band Five for Fighting, our next guest saw his huge hits, Superman, 100 Years, Riddle and World, steadily move up the charts.
What?
Yeah, they're laughing
at him. His charity website, whatkindofworlddoyouwant.com, benefits Augie's Quest. We are thrilled to have him joining us for our telethon. So let's welcome John Andrasik. Right now.
Wow.
I told you.
All right, wait. Now, at a certain point, do you make the letters bigger?
That won't help because the copy itself is bad.
It's terrible copy. Too.
And
it's horrible.
The fact that he refuses to pre-read it doesn't help.
Right.
We got to hit a break. As we go to break, let's hear a little more of Ed slurring.
Very good.
We're only to hour three of Rob's annual recap of the Jerry Lewis Telethon.
Highly entertaining this year.
Here from the Super Value and Albertsons Companies, their Community Relations Department, Teresa Alexander and Karen Griss.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Jesus.
Perfect.
Okay. Couldn't you listen to Ed for an hour?
Oh, this is quality.
Mike, when we come back, we're going to pick up with Jerry's annual speech about why popsicles are marvelous.
I look forward to it.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's get right back to it. Jerry calls David Cassidy a cocker.
Wow.
So honored to be here with you.
Thank you.
God
Thank
bless you. You. And all of you.
David Cassidy, that little cocker. The little cocker I used to call him.
No, you didn't.
Amazing.
Here's the president. Chief Operating Officer of Harley-Davidson,
Harley.
And MDA National Vice President, Jim McCaslin.
Did you know that I wasn't there, Ed?
No, I didn't, because I was looking over here. I was talking to a couple of little guys. One was redheaded and had a funny thing, and they're awfully small. They're tiny little...
it's okay, Ed.
The Muppets or something?
We're going to have to talk.
Well, I was talking to them, and then they said, you were great, and I said, well, he's all right.
This is seriously.
Thanks a lot for that, Ed.
Like listening
Hello,
to the Blue
Jim.
Light Special.
Hello, Jerry. The Don and Mike Show. So honored to be here with you.
Thank you.
God
Thank
bless you.
You.
And all of you.
David Cassidy, that little cocker. The little cocker I used to call.
With happy hands and mumbling mouths, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, the little cocker.
You didn't call him that, Jerry. You just made that up because your mouth broke again.
But it was good because it allowed Ed to talk more about Muppets.
Hour number three, right, Robbie?
Seems like it, yeah.
Hour number three, the Jerry Telethon, Jerry's yearly popsicle speech.
And this has gone going for really about 6 years now.
Yeah, he loves his popsicles.
He really does.
And does he throw a marvelous in here?
We'll have to see.
Oh, he does.
But I bet he talks to Laurie Rinda.
Laurie.
I'm certain that Safeway has this kind of money to move into important places just from the popsicles I buy from them. You see, I can't have anything with sugar. So, I go to a Safeway once, and they had these marvelous popsicles.
Marvelous. There it is. Marvelous popsicles.
Yeah, these marvelous
Isn't popsicles. It better to be surprised, yeah. though?
From Harley Davidson.
These marvelous popsicles.
Soft wall.
Hold on, I got
No sugar in them.
Got a bag
of sugar. Can't have anything with sugar. So, I go to a Safeway once, and they had these marvelous popsicles, no sugar in them.
Marvelous.
And there's a box of 16. They're called classic popsicles. And when I...
Thanks, Jerry.
This is seriously... The whole thing that we've... Yeah. We are listening to the home. We truly are now.
Yeah.
It is definitely like listening to people down in Florida at the 5:30 dinner special.
They are at their prime. This is an 18-hour broadcast. This is the beginning of it.
21.
This is when they're...
Excuse me, Rob.
This is when they're fresh.
Yeah, I love it.
They have these
God,
marvelous popsicles.
Classic popsicles.
Buy that box. By the time I get home, there's none in there. So I got to go back and get for later. But they're wonderful. And everything else there is wonderful.
Filet.
Okay. Ed.
Ed. Great monologues.
Ed's not ready, Mike.
Oh, sorry, Ed. Oh, just go back to what you were doing.
I've been waiting for you to call me. I just stand by. You were ignoring me. And toward the end, I got kind of feeling funny that you didn't want me around. And
no.
I didn't know what to do.
How come we're
Can I tell you something?
Mike, hold on. Excuse me. How come we're the only guys in the world that see this and hear this for what it is?
All right.
For the magnificent car wreck that it is.
I don't know. There are guys that I play golf with down in Florida.
Drive Hollies?
And there are guys, seriously, that attempt to be funny. And there are different kinds of humor. And the guys that play golf a little more slowly, if you know what I mean, that have the little blue flag on top of their golf cart.
Right.
This is the way they're funny.
Right.
You know, it's the edge. And, the edge has been gone for a while.
You always feel funny.
Do you want me around?
How come we're
God love them. They're still performing, but it really is starting to sound like a couple of old men that are out at a restaurant.
Stop it with the God love them.
it's no longer.
They need to
right
stop.
Now, it's like the popsicles, and then he goes, Ed!
But don't you think that if people could see them through our eyes and know really what this show is all about, people would watch this? I mean, the problem is it's stretched out over 20 hours.
Maybe the crippled kids would be watching if people gave this important disease the type of publicity that we give it.
That's true.
That's good, Don.
We shine a light on.
That's right.
MDA.
May I make a promise to you?
What's that?
In your lifetime.
It'll be cured?
I never said that.
All right. You just wanted to say in your lifetime.
I did.
In your lifetime.
I got to say
it. Of course.
Of course.
Of course, Ed. You...
It's showbiz at its absolute worst.
It is.
It's the last bastion of it. This really doesn't exist anymore.
No.
What it is it's a dream scenario. If you ever went to Vegas with a bunch of your buddies and you're just getting bombed or whatever and you said, let's go to the worst show we possibly can and goof on it.
We've been doing this for years. We did this with Bob Hope.
Right.
We're doing this with Jerry And you have to include Ed in this right now.
Oh, yeah.
The popsicle speech, I will give you this, from 2 years ago, or even 3 years ago, was light years ahead of that pop. Now it's just
I go in 16 and they're gone. I like the pops.
And then you have to go and buy for later.
Hour number four. Here we go. Ed.
Already?
Ed nearly forgets what year it is.
Hello and welcome back to the Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon. Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa in Las Vegas. Please join us now. Some of the Love Network stations along the way for the 2007 Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon. Here we go.
Here we go.
1907.
Here we go.
And then here's the famous one that everybody heard where Jerry says fag.
Okay.
The one cut from the telethon that did make YouTube this year.
I don't think it's the most entertaining by a long shot.
All right.
No, but it's the one, you know, that got all the
exactly.
Pop.
Exactly.
Right. Hi there. We're back. We're into hour 18. Look how good he moves that camera. We got son of a gun. Wherever I go, he goes. Let's see what you do with this over here. Oh, your family has come to see you. You remember Bart, your older son, Jesse, the illiterate fag. No. I know.
ABBA's timeless hits come to life in Mamma Mia, the longest running and most successful.
Now you hear
the reading. The reading is the worst I have ever heard it. I mean, it's not even in the ballpark of previous years.
It's just like he calls the guy a fag, and then it's just left turn.
Right.
ABBA is a group,
and the way he says "fag" is old manny too. Fag,
fag. And you hear how he sounds really, really tired here?
Yeah, because he's walking around, right?
Well, yeah, but know that he's just had 14 hours off. He only does 4 hours, then he goes away, and right. then he comes back for what he calls the kill.
In Las Vegas. Now, please welcome
the kill.
And that's like the final 4 hours. So they're an hour.
Does he 18. Call it the kill?
Of course he does.
The Hi kill. There.
Hi there.
We're back. We're into hour 18. Look how good he moves that camera over here, son of a gun. Wherever I go, he goes. Let's see what you do with this over here. Oh, your family has come to see you. You remember Bart, your older son? Jesse, the illiterate faggot. No.
What?
I know. ABBA's timeless hits.
Moving on.
Come to life in Mamma Mia.
14 hours of rest.
The longest running and most successful Broadway music to hit Las Vegas Strip.
Listen to him read.
Music.
The show is filled with love, laughter, and friendship.
They're laughing at him now. Are they laughing
Absolutely.
At him?
And it's an oxygen issue, is it not?
Yeah, now he has to catch his breath.
And you can catch it at the Mandalay Bay. Ladies and gentlemen, Mamma Mia!
Wow.
All right, here's the next cut. It says...
This is fun.
What's it called?
Sloppy Q pickup from Ed and the band. Ed is slurry and horny as he kisses Jan Carl. Says, no, Don, in a move that is self-serving even by Jerry standards, the telethon is used to lobby to get Jerry the Congressional Gold Medal of Honor.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, this is goddamn disgusting. Have they no shame?
Oh, all right. I like this.
These are Rob's notes.
Sloppy Q.
This is when Jerry is not there.
Okay.
So this is them, quote unquote, operating behind Jerry's back. All right. As if he didn't write it.
We are back live.
How about just the beginning?
Perfect. That's the sloppy Q.
We're back in one. Two, yeah.
Yeah. We are back live at the 2007 Jerry Lewis NBA Telethon from the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa in Las Vegas. Now, please welcome, oh, what a pleasure this is for me to welcome this incredible performer, Jan Carl.
Oh, good morning, Ed.
All right, I have a question. You're the telethon expert.
All right, I'll entertain it.
How much of this? Now, granted, you got the two old guys, Jerry,
right.
and Ed, and
right.
they're obviously they're into their 80s now,
yeah.
and so I mean it's difficult for these guys. How much of this entire telethon broadcast has gotten sloppy? Because I'm not only hearing missed cues from Ed, I'm hearing microphones not getting turned
on. It's always been that.
They
way.
Don't. They seem to be pretty disheveled.
There's,
right?
There's the problems are multifold.
Okay.
For one thing, they only use hand mics. Nobody has a lavalier mic, and
okay.
because they're all old. They always forget to pick them up. I mean, it's just simple.
Wait. Any chance I get, I'm going to kiss you. Well, Pam may be here. Is Pam here yet? No, okay.
Okay, good. The wife's
wait,
not
wait,
here.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And we should have said,
in trouble.
Woo! I see woo. In trouble now. Oh. Wow, you guys are great. Good morning.
Good morning, yes.
I don't
Such
think I need
save.
My coffee.
Wait,
I
didn't
have
mean
you.
To neglect you at all, but, you know, it's her. Okay.
Woo! All right. Listen, I have a very special message that I need to share with all of you. This is before Jerry gets back, all right? Because Jerry has been nominated for the Congressional Gold Medal for his decades of work for MTV.
So we're supposed to believe that Jerry doesn't know that Jan Carl
exactly.
is saying all of this.
Send Jan out with the gold medal speech.
And if there is a harsher looking woman on God's earth, bring her to me.
Unmatched show business career. Now, it's a very prestigious award that is rarely given out. Just check out some of the previous recipients. They include George Washington, Bob Hope, Winston Churchill, John Wayne, Mother Teresa, and Martin Luther King Jr.
And Jerry Lewis, please stop the world. I want to get off.
I want Carl, Jan Carl, to go out with the big speech about me getting the medal.
I have a dream that this is not true.
So you remember when John Wayne won it, and he talked about the popsicles.
That's right.
That he enjoyed so much.
Here is a segment that Rob... I'm not going to listen to the rest of that stuff.
No need.
Here's one that Rob calls... Ed's combination of gurgling and slurring, he calls it a slurgle.
I like it.
Oh, good. Let's hear Ed's slurgle.
This year marks the 30th anniversary of ERA real estate partnership with MDA, and the ER team pledged to renew a commitment. So let's support them and watch this, folks.
Where was the slurgle?
Are you sure that was the right cut?
That's what it said.
What number?
Number 40. And then number 41 says he's still slurgling. Ed gets his balls busted about his hair in an old clip. He handles it like a horny, retarded Alzheimer's patient. That's
perhaps
what you wrote.
Perhaps we'll hear the slurgle here.
Okay.
Let's welcome ERA Real Estate Senior Vice President and MDA Vice President P.J. Martin Smith.
It's a little slurgle.
That's a combination of gurgling and
okay. A little bit of a slurgle.
Good morning. Hi, Jan.
Should we ask Ed what happened to his hair?
Yeah, how long ago was that?
I don't know. Ed, what happened to your hair? We saw you there in 1977, and...
Wait a minute. I was out getting a cup of coffee. What did you say?
Hey, did you see that we saw you in 1977? I was saying, what happened? You look a little different.
I'm here if you need me, whatever you want.
You know what? What's great is so is ERA.
I'd get over and give you a kiss right now if they wouldn't stop the show.
Here he goes again.
Oh, my.
I should start charging him for the kisses, right? And give the money to Jerry.
Yeah.
You know who really...
I'm Ed McMahon, and I'd like to eat your...
You know who really you must feel for in that situation?
What about the vagina?
Is...
I'm Ed McMahon.
I like rape.
You want to put your hand on it?
Why do you favor rape?
The poor people that are standing there waiting to give a check, and they're not in show business, and they just stand there, and Ed is screaming.
One more. Here's Jan Carl throws it to Ed, and he seems lost.
Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. Oh. All right, Ed, back to you.
Oh, Jan. So nice of you to introduce me. Thank you, Jan. Let's welcome back the president and chief operating officer of Harley-Davidson, and MDA National Vice President, Jim McCaslin.
All right, when we come back.
Ollie.
Rob, as he's indicated, says Jerry is back for the kill.
Ed is down in the corner with his pants around his ankle.
When we come back, Jerry will go for the kill and call Billy Gilman, who helped anchor the telethon for at least 5 years. He calls him by what name? He calls him Billy Gilman, and his name is Billy Gillum?
No, his name is Billy Gilman, and I think he calls him Billy Gillum. But he's only been the overnight anchor for 5 years, and he's been associated with MDA for 10. And Jerry gets his name wrong.
Then Jerry tells the audience they are not excited enough. Then the newly refreshed Jerry rambles on.
Oh, good. All right. Delightful.
We'll hear that. Then we hear, what does Rob say after that? Jerry seems bored and insecure.
I like the headlines, too.
Yeah.
Jerry thanks Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
Calls him a good boy. One of the best, and Carrot Darling.
Carrot.
Where's that? Yeah. Carrot Darling. Where's that?
Carrot Top, yay!
Look at that,
yay! Carrot Top!
Thank you very much! God bless you. Good boy. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
You can see him every night here in Las Vegas.
You can see her.
Hey, Carrot, darling, are you still at the Luxor?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
you folks will have a real treat. See him tonight or any night you like at the Luxor Hotel. We only present top draw on this program. My darling Jan Carl is waiting to speak on you. Here she is.
What?
I don't know.
All right, we'll pick it up with Billy Gilman. Mm-hmm.
Put your hand on it, Jerry.
All right. Carrot, darling. Whatever he said, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on. Ed is so old, he calls A&P grocery stores the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company. Back to the telethon tapes.
Right now, representing the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, our Senior Vice President of Store Operations, Paul Wintzmuth. Waldron's District Manager, Joe Stout.
Stone.
The Food Emporium Supervisor, Eddie Casso. And Director of Community Relations, Liz Lucadado.
That was not funny. Don't hard. You stop laughing. That I ain't like funny.
Man, that's totally... Totally funny.
It's the fool the classy one, Don and Mike.
You know, we'll do one more break of these things, these Jerry tapes, and we'll have to come back to them another day.
Jerry!
Buzz is still standing by with news. We've talked about Marie Hosman and her header. We talked about that with Tom Bergeron today.
Yes.
Buzz, are you going to talk about Heidi Fleiss looking for men whores?
No, I didn't have that.
All right. What about Donald Trump getting a judge show?
I heard about this. Yeah. Like Donald Trump will be the judge?
Yeah, it's a combination of Judge Judy and Dr. Phil.
He's going to help people solve their financial disputes.
Wonderful.
And also something called Vince Vaughn vexes Vanessa's vagina.
Which Vanessa?
Don't know.
I know.
Stay tuned, Mike.
Del Rio?
What about the vagina?
I like to mention her as many times as I can now.
Redgrave. Wow. The one that was the Miss America.
Williams.
Good. I just said the one that was the Miss America.
But I had it. And technically, I had the name.
You had the name.
I wish I had time to battle you in the Vanessas right now, but we have a schedule to keep.
Look at his eyebrows. I'd like to pluck him out when you give me that look.
I think that was like a tie goes to the runner on Vanessa Williams. That
yes, both, you jogged me
we both
by saying the Miss America.
At about the same time.
And I can't think of another Vanessa.
Wasn't one of the Cosby kids named Vanessa?
Vanessa DeMillo.
Who's that?
Isn't that Nick Lachey's girlfriend?
I don't know.
The little hottie that used to be an entertainment reporter?
I think you may be right.
See, but you know what? It almost doesn't count because nobody knows who she is.
And there was a Vanessa Huxtable.
There was?
Yeah, I think there was Rudy's older sister.
Yeah, but that's a character. It's not a real person.
Okay. Oh, and it's Vanessa Williams, Mike.
Mm-hmm. I had Vanessa Williams.
No, I mean, that's the vagina.
Oh, that's the one that Vince Vaughn is violating?
Yes, that's the Vince Vaughn violating Vanessa's vagina.
Interesting.
Okay. Let's get back to the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Yes, of course.
I just like getting caught up before we get to the news.
Sure. I know. And then you got busy when I beat you in the Vanessa game.
That was a tie, Mike. Tie goes to the runner.
That's true.
You sound like Barker.
Here we go.
Tie goes to the runner.
All right, Rob.
Tie goes to the runner on Dancing with the Stars. That's right, Don's busy preparing the next segment of the show. I'm over here just throwing names out, and that's why the tie goes to the runner on Dancing with the Stars.
Who are you?
I'm the self-loathing Tom Bergeron. That's right, it's me. Let me grab Marie before her big, oversized Osmond head hits the floor on Dancing with the Stars.
All right, what is the next cut, Robbie? Jerry's back for the kill, and he calls Billy Gillum. He then tells the audience they're not excited enough.
Yeah, this kid has really been with the telethon for about 10 years.
Yeah, but in fairness to everybody listening to this, this mistake is a mistake that bothered you.
A nitpicker's mistake.
Yeah, well, no,
this
I mean,
a mistake that bothered you.
What if I came in and called you like Mark?
You know, but it's still, I know, but would anybody even care that he's messing up this
big
guy's
hold on. Country star?
You get what he's saying. There are enough F-ups, foul-ups,
right.
Bleeps, and blunders.
Granted, but we mustn't let this one escape.
All right. You know, this is why you are such a good Nazi.
Thank you.
Really.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
At least I started out good.
Billy Gillum.
Right now.
Oops, sorry, that was still Ed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Billy, did you bring us luck?
Yeah.
Jerry, Billy.
That's
Jerry, Billy, look
Billy
at this.
Gillum.
Look at this. Roll it.
39 million, and people go, eh. Let's hear it.
Oh, that's good. That's old Jerry.
Yeah.
We've still got a lot to go. We have a lot of show.
There he goes.
And a lot to go.
He just lost.
And a lot of interesting things.
He was the old Jerry, and then he went right back into being old man Jerry.
Don't you love the tone?
And for the lovely people at home, please spot where your telephone is. So if something along the way touches your heart.
Yes. Somebody, while I'm watching this, point out where my telephone is.
Where is it? What must he be like at home?
Oh, God.
Same good thing. Lord.
Call and make a pledge. Then it will make everything perfect. Perfect.
Save for Eddie later.
Eddie Mann is now in front of the audience.
Oh, perfect.
Well, do you remember we had that guy on that wrote the biography about Jerry?
Right.
They had one meeting over lunch that went really well. And the second meeting, this guy is, you know, committed to writing this book. He called Jerry's act on stage spastic, and now Jerry won't speak to him anymore.
Right, Jerry.
Here's the next one in Rob's incredible notes, his cheat sheet for this. Mm-hmm. Really, it's like a school project. Cut 46. Incidentally, there are, if you're wondering...
Too many for one CD this year.
over 150 cuts.
Wow.
Thank you.
Jerry, cut 46. Jerry seems bored and insincere.
That's the one I want to hear.
Ed interrupts with the $40 million timpani. Jerry says it makes his heart sore. Jerry makes a disparaging remark about Romanians that makes no sense and closes out by introducing Carrot Top with cue card reading that is consistent.
I do like that. The notes are really, really good this year.
So now let's hear it.
Thank you, Jan. That was so informative and such a nice little break there, a two and a half minute break to hear about people we don't know.
Oh, I've been looking for this number. I've been looking for this. Roll it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, all of you wonderful people along the network and here in Vegas. You make our hearts soar. 40 million. That's good. We got work to do.
Now, did he mean S-O-A-R or S-O-R-E?
I'm going to guess R-E.
Uh-huh. He's sore.
He hurts all over.
They got 40 million, Jerry.
Helping us get there faster and faster. I think someone else that can help us at least to get our mindset. I guess that he's been doing the show for me every time I've asked him. It's hard to tell how old he is. It's like a Romanian. You never know how old they are. They all look 74. I don't know. Why a Romanian? Where did that come from? See? Peter loved that. Okay. Known for his crazy red hair, his original props, and hilariously twisted sense of humor, this energetic comedian is sure to keep you laughing. And you can catch him here in Las Vegas six nights a week at the Luxor Hotel and Casino. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Carrot Top.
Hey,
here she comes.
Looking good.
Yeah, with the plucked eyebrows.
You want to hear a moment of Carrot Top's routine?
Yeah, I would. Please. I'd love to hear that.
Wow, Jerry Lewis. Hey, everybody, happy Labor Day. How we doing?
Hey, I plucked my eyebrows, but I'm on
nice
the roids.
To see you. I made a lot of stuff for you. It's a camera, especially in Vegas. It's so crowded. This way you can get a clean shot with your camera. No one can walk across your lens. People don't seem to care. Am I in your shot? Well, you are.
Yeah, I guess Carrot Top won't work on the radio.
Well, he doesn't work on any medium.
All right, now what is the next one here, Robbie? It says $41 million is good.
Right, it is.
Jerry tries to talk and to explain something, but instead he reveals his only flaw is envy.
Oh, this is one of his...
Is this where you think he's comparing himself to Dr. Jonas Salk?
Yeah, this is one of his most rambling, weirdest monologues. This leans surreal.
Also, Jerry reveals that God has a file... He ends the segment by saying, thank you for listening, by which he meant listening.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me, Rob writes, but I could listen to Jerry talk forever.
I feel the same way. I love listening to Jerry.
Like your Hank Kingsley, maybe it's just me.
Yeah, it is. It is. Rob's thoughts.
Yeah, 41. That's good. we still have lots to do and lots to say and present as much entertainment to you, ladies and gentlemen, as we possibly can. And it is vital to understand that the entertainment factor isn't timed out like it would be in a theater under normal circumstances. It's timed out here so that it's on the show with informed information, vital information regarding my kids and what we're doing and how well we're...
You know, if you didn't know the history of this, you might think that he was a man that had
the disease.
Muscular dystrophy. Yeah. Really, I'm not saying that as a joke.
I know. No.
Well, I'm
You'll
sorry,
beat
I'm laughing.
You'll beat it, Jerry.
I hate it when you say that. Uh-huh. Don't doing? Say that.
And what I'm, when I mention my kids, I think... Off the top of my head.
Yeah, we know it's off the top of your head.
I think I am only envious. That's the only negative part of my character. In that I am envious and jealous and wish I could know what Jonas Salk knew when polio was written off the menu of life.
Wow.
Okay, there is pomposity, and then there is pomposity. There is trying to save yourself from a screw-up, and then there is what I believe this was absolutely meditated. This was planned out. He's going to compare himself to the guy that cured polio.
Right. Yeah, he wants to be like Jonas Salk. He wants to cure the disease.
His only flaw
is his envy over this great man, Jonas Salk.
He's envious of a man that saved so many.
Another great man.
That's his only flaw.
Can you imagine when he starts on this monologue up in the booth where the director is?
Hold the shot.
Throwing his headphones down and throwing his hands in the air and saying, what is he doing?
He is, Jerry is the great rambler.
Oh, the best. Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget the feeling it was incredible that that many children and adults would no longer have to battle that insidious disease that took their lives, their futures, right, and everything else that that stuff does to people. And when that cure came, and going from an iron lung.
All right, now, I've not heard this. Let's hear how he swings this back around towards Jerry. Because right now it's become...
It's a kind of a tribute to the curing of polio.
A 100% rave about Dr. Jonas Salk.
Right.
With the aid of 8 or 9 therapists, to having to take a tablet in the morning at breakfast and walk around and do everything they did before they had polio. Well, the disease and what it does to a child has different guises. It comes to us in different forms, different shapes. Yet, what it leaves behind are all the same disabilities and obstacles and negative and frustrations. And then it weaves itself into the family, the healthy children, the healthy parents. And it lies over them in a cloud of despair. We do so much when we help the clinicians in this country come up with an answer to one of the most frustrating and vicious things that God allowed to happen. Whoa. I have to...
Jesus.
Fantastic.
I know what he's trying
That's
to do.
That's a weird curveball, though.
But boy, he takes a millennium.
You know, think about it if you're a kid with MD, a kid with MD.
Right.
Well, Johnny, you just heard. God allowed this to happen to you.
That's right.
But keep in mind, little Johnny, this is the worst thing that God will allow to happen.
The worst thing happened to me right now is Jerry's monologue.
Think that if we pray to him hard enough, he'll look back in his file and he'll see, I shouldn't have done that.
God's file.
I think if you think about
what
this does to the child and the parents and to everyone and everything that he comes in contact with, lives literally change, become diminished, without.
And Rob, is there an end to this? Because he is
my God. I mean, I know what he's trying to do, but come on.
Yes, yes, there's got to be an end.
It must be here somewhere.
Total full bore depressions.
Forget.
Yeah, I'm getting it's moving into the heavy zone.
I think your fault is envy.
Envy. Mm-hmm.
And cabinets. Right. File cabinets.
Any more Ed slurring?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, this one says, for no good reason, Ed messes up the intro of the IAFF guy.
Now, did you say this year going into this that Ed was actually worse than Jerry?
I think so.
Because Ed's
hey, sir,
great.
Here comes Harold Schaefberger of the fire, you know, the group, the single largest national sponsor. Look at this.
Oh, damn.
Nice intro.
Welcome back, my dear hero, Harold.
All right, hold on a second. We've got to find one to go out on here. Rob says in his notes, this is a massive plate of suck. Jerry talks about Michael Andrew, who will be starring in Jerry's upcoming Broadway musical. Nice self-promotion, Jerry.
Okay.
I thank you for that. And I thank you, Michael, for being here.
It's an honor.
I know you made a long trip, and it was heavy and hectic and nonsense and all that, but I'm glad you're here. I want you ladies and gentlemen to look at this young man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And see talent in the young stage of his life.
The guy's about 40.
He's going to be transformed somewhat in that Michael Andrew will be starring in the Broadway musical of The Nutty Professor. And...
You ass, Jerry Lewis.
As I attempt to rip Mel Brooks off.
Again.
We have been working on it, and we'll continue to finish the writing. And we hope...
What about the kids, Jerry?
Of 09, Michael and I will walk on the boards of a Broadway theater, and...
What about the kids that can't walk?
Wait, here's a bulletin here, too. Is Jerry going to be in the musical?
No.
Okay.
No, he's not.
All right, good.
Set the town on fire. We wish him luck. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, fire.
That's right.
We'll be riding wildfire.
I hope Sheryl Crow's okay.
And, you know, because we had him on the show today, safe home, Tom Bergeron. Mm-hmm.
So what that last break was just Jerry bringing the guy out that's going to be in his Broadway show.
In 2009.
Yeah, that's going to be they're going to have to really work hard to get it on in only 2 years.
Mm-hmm. One more tape that we'll hear today. We'll come back to this another day. It says, nominee for worst cue card read of the telephone.
Oh, wow. Very good.
Goes to Jerry Lewis for his intro of Jack Jones.
This artist, having received 2 Grammys, produced 50 albums, 17 of which charted billboards, top 20, and consistently selling out world tours. This next performer is still going strong. A dear friend of MDA and the telethon. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, as far as I'm concerned, Jack Jones.
I thought the ABBA read was bad.
Pretty good
compared to that.
They're all pretty good.
Yeah.
Hold on, what is this one?
Great people, great companies. That's a whole other dissertation on the companies and the good people that come here and do this.
Yeah, never mind. On disc number 2, I guess, how many discs do you have for this, though?
Only 2 discs only this year.
9.
On disc number 2, it says
wait
Jerry,
for the box set.
Jerry again compares himself to Jonas Salk.
Yeah, he likes that.
Jerry then compares himself to John F. Kennedy.
All good.
Then you have Augie, an adult ALS sufferer,
uh-huh,
who gives the top 10 reasons it's good to have ALS. Rob writes, this is not easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Awkward Crap with Richard Belzer doing a pointless walk-on. Jerry kisses Peter Bogdanovich's ass and calls him a good boy.
Uh-huh. And Richard Belzer's walk-on is because Jerry was on the show.
He's married himself to Law and Order.
Jerry rambles. And, again, compares himself to Jonas Salk. And then there's an argument with a cranky floor director. Once again, Jerry compares himself to Jonas Salk. $1 more, Jerry, again, Jonas Salk.
Wow.
And then it's sing, sing, sing. You'll never walk alone.
There it is.
Anyway,
we'll finish it up at another time.
Jerry!
And really, there's a lot of comparisons to be drawn between Jerry Lewis and Jonas Salk. You've got a scientist who cured a disease and a guy who talks in a funny voice.
Jerry.
I'm certain that Safeway has this kind of money to move into important places just from the popsicles I buy from them.
They're marvelous.
From them.
You see, I can't have anything with sugar. So I go to a Safeway once, and they had these marvelous popsicles.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. I'm glad you enjoy your popsicles. That Give
is,
money.
That is our private hell.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Well, Buzz,
yes.
You got a little gypped on your time tonight. Don't blame me. Blame the kids of MDA for that.
I understand. We were doing some good, Buzz. I know.
We'll be right back with some news and some comments.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz.
Welcome back.
You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm Alan Coulter, TV's Howie Mandel.
The Don and Mike Show.
No, hold on, that was...
Hello, boys and girls. It's me, the Frito Bandido.
Bueno. Buzz.
It's all about the buzz.
Here we go.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Just a big box of okay. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, Buzz. What's happening?
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, I think Michael Murphy said it best. Are you winning?
Uh-huh. Now more than a half million people have had to move out of harm's way as the wildfires continue in California.
We'll be right.
Just the name of a horse.
We've been asking neighboring states to ask for help to get some of the resources and some of the fire engines and also airplanes and stuff like that. We've asked the federal government for help and to release some of the troops. So we need as much help as possible. We are battling with this all over the state of California. There's 7-8 fires right now. We are stretched to the limit when it comes to the resources.
And stuff like that.
We like need that. The fire trucks, uh-huh. The fire engines.
And the planes and stuff like that. Over a dozen fires, really. The fires now span more than 384 square miles, not even close to being under control. Hundreds, a thousand homes have been lost, along with one life. Scores of people have been injured.
We'll be riding wildfire.
Call the Van Patten estate right now.
I'll call them.
Are they okay?
Make sure they're okay.
I think he's in the valley.
Fires are hot, right?
Some of San Diego's refugees are camped out at Qualcomm Stadium watching the local news on the Jumbotron, hoping to see how their neighborhood is doing. They are, I hear, remarkably well-behaved, very civil in the stadium. The good news for Malibu residents is the Santa Ana winds are beginning to let up now, and some Malibu folks are being allowed to go back home.
I bet Dan Snyder is out of his mind with jealousy. Can you imagine that? That's like 7 more Redskins games in a week.
Yeah, that's true.
He could sell ice cream.
You mean
cream
it, like, and he'd be selling concessions?
Of course. Well, first there'd be parking.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And then...
We'll be riding wildfire.
Michael, yeah, Martin, it's a stupid, Murphy. Stupid question, but I'm wondering, if they're in Qualcomm Stadium, do you think they have beer?
I don't know. That
do you think they have beer left over from the game? I mean, I know that with Katrina, they didn't have anything there because it was in off season.
They wouldn't do that, though.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't sell beer. No, of course not. They want to keep the crowd controlled.
Right. You're bringing people in. They've had to move out of their houses now.
You want to control that?
It's a silly thought. It's a brutal fight.
I liked it.
I think we should focus on what the media is focusing on with San Diego.
Yeah,
LT had to leave his house. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
LaDainian Tomlinson had to leave his house.
That's serious.
That's what we should be worried about.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Now, why in the world would NASA study airline safety? Well,
that was a headline I saw today on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
They had the video. Excuse me there, Buzz.
Sure.
They had the video of all the fires.
Right.
And then in the corner, they had the head of LaDainian Tomlinson and the head of Philip Rivers. As if to show, look, it's affected these two superstars.
NFL players and sports figures get affected.
They had to leave their gated communities.
We
Do
wouldn't
you understand
pay attention under normal circumstances, but an NFL star running back is in jeopardy.
It's like the headline should read, LaDainian Tomlinson and 500,000 others.
Exactly.
Inconvenience.
Right.
That's right. Now, why would NASA study airline safety? Because the first A in NASA stands for aeronautics, and that's airplanes.
Hey!
Now, although we often forget it, that's the other thing NASA does. Well, NASA's out with a new report about airline safety, but NASA has decided not to let you see that report. NASA clearly doesn't want to upset air travelers or hurt profits at the airlines. NASA has admitted these things.
Well, I don't fly NASA. I fly United or something else.
Yeah, and why does NASA not want us to see this?
Well, I'm telling you now, because they don't want to upset you and because they don't want to hurt airline profits.
Is this just like the Department of Justice not wanting all the stuff about getting bilked over in Iraq? They want that sealed?
Very similar,
so everything's being covered up now, so we don't know what's going on.
That's right.
All right.
Is it that NASA's not getting their share of the bucks? Is that why they're jumping up with this now?
No, one of their jobs is to study aeronautics as well as space. That's the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
In fact, I understand.
That comes
first.
Well,
what the hell do they do the study for if they're not going to release it to the public?
That's a very good question, Mike, and there isn't an answer to it. NASA interviewed pilots across the country in this study, something that's never been done before, and they found that near collisions and other scary things happen more frequently than government figures say.
Uh-huh. It's time to fly.
NASA got these results.
My name is Charlie. I'll be your air traffic controller.
We'll be riding wild.
Hot.
Songs right? About a dead horse, right?
Yeah. And the fire's out in L.A. Not funny, Rob.
Right. That was not funny. Don't you stop laughing. That ain't like funny.
Not funny, Terry.
NASA.
Do you like Terry Bradshaw?
Oh, he's the best. He's the smartest one.
I know that.
Mm-hmm. NASA got the results of its study a year ago, and to this day, it's not only refusing to release the results, it's told the contractor it hired to do the study to destroy all of the related documents.
But now, doesn't that go against, like, NASA's public image as being, you know, I've never thought of NASA as being anything except
space.
Stand-up.
Apollo,
yeah.
You know, we got a problem, Houston. We sent our brightest and our bravest up there to, you know, that's their job.
And what worries me is if they're doing all this, I worry about the contents of that study, which, I mean, are they worried about a national panic or something like that?
I don't know without actually seeing the actual results.
But we won't see it, right? We're not going to see it?
I wouldn't say that, because there are people on the inside who do want you to have this information, so it may still turn up. It's just too bad it has to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Is this all stuff that you get, like, out of the city paper?
No, it isn't. No, this is mainstream news. Google this, and you'll find out more. Read all about it, as they say on CBS.
Do you think he's getting this is getting this out of these underground publications? Here
yeah.
It comes out.
No. It's like, you know, you ever notice that with Buzz? Like, I'll go home, and I'll watch the news at night, and I'll go, what was that story about NASA?
Did anybody have,
it won't be there.
But the story you didn't have, what about the Barack Obama being related to Dick Cheney?
Oh, I actually had that story prepared when it broke, like, last week. We just didn't get to it, and now it's kind of old news.
Okay. Oh, hold on. I got something for you on that.
I can look it up for you if you like.
My mom called me and told me. I was embarrassed. I didn't know what was going on.
So did my mom.
I rely on my news for my news, Buzz.
I got that here somewhere.
Hold on. Now. I'm running. It's a dangerous call here. Calling a senior citizen.
All right.
And I'm going to try to get a quick answer from her. I'm calling Big Frieda about this very thing with Barack Obama.
Hello.
I found the story.
Hey, Mom?
Yeah.
Hi, listen, you're on the air. Will you, in 10 seconds, can you explain to everybody that email that you sent me that said somehow you're related to Barack Obama?
Sure. Okay. Not me personally, your son.
Okay, why is Bart...
Maybe. Well, on Les's side of the family.
On Les's side of the family.
His mother was a DeVol, and we have it. We have it documented where it goes back to Maureen DeVol, who was a sea captain.
That's the name.
And who settled in St. Mary's. And Rob went to school one year in St. Mary's. We looked it up; it was down there. But we have it in some books here.
So it is your belief that somehow your grandson, my son, Bart, is related to this whole Barack Obama, Dick Cheney thing that Mike was just talking about?
Sure.
If he's connected to Maureen DeVol, that's true.
Yeah. Wow. In fact, you remember the Sandy, who did the music for Frida's funeral?
Yes, I do. Sure.
She named her daughter Maureen, spelled the same way.
After that person.
Yeah. Wow. So you're part of this whole thing.
Well, not me, Mike. It would be it's a blood thing. No. So it would be right. Bart.
You're Mike is like me.
Okay. By marriage. But,
by marriage, right.
But Bart is related to Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Don't hold it against him,
Don, we must talk.
All right. Thank you. Mom, I got to fly. I love you.
Okay, I love you too, son.
All right, see you later.
Bye, Big Frida.
Let me.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye,
Big Frida.
Mom. See you later.
Let me explain this before we go to break. Dick Cheney and Barack Obama, cousins. Dick's wife, Lynn, says they are. Lynn Cheney says she recently discovered that her husband is an eighth cousin to Barack Obama. Their common ancestor, same as Bart's, Maureen Duval, a 17th century immigrant from France. Last month we learned that Obama is also related to President Bush, that the two of them are 11th cousins.
Does that mean my son is somehow related to President Bush?
Perhaps.
Yes, because here again, the common denominator is Maureen Duval.
I'm very sorry.
God, he must have slept around.
This Maureen Duval, what a harlot.
President Bush and...
What a hua.
A hua.
President Bush and Barack Obama have the same 10th great-grandparents. That's great-great-great-great-great, you know, 10 times. Sam and Sarah Hinckley, who lived in Massachusetts in the 1600s. Now, this makes Obama...
Yeah, little Johnny.
Makes Obama a 10th cousin of the first President Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. And so they're all related.
Wow.
And now so is Bart as well.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that something? How about that?
Isn't that... Well, I'll be a horse's ass.
Exactly.
And it's funny, you got it from Big Frida, and I got it from my mom.
Uh-huh.
You know, from the senior citizens going crazy.
Mom's
about
that. Right.
Are they related?
No, I don't think I have any relation.
Well, they're into all that family tree stuff.
Although I'm part French-Canadian, so who knows?
Now, when stars take a stand politically, does it make a difference? We'll examine that when we return.
We'll be right.
Just thinking about Leah.
Yeah. I hope she's okay.
We'll be right back. Sure.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
JFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Diddly darling.
It's the 9-11 of fun. The Don and Mike Show.
To let you know what you meant to me.
Who's
meant to be. Gonna love you every single night. Cause I think you're too out of sight. Oh, darling.
Darling.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Wildfire.
And we talked about this before, didn't we?
We'll be riding wildfire.
Help.
And what about that cafe that Leah owns?
Oh, Vivian's. Oh, my God.
I hope Vivian's is okay.
They're probably, you know, if they're okay, they're donating almost.
I hope there wasn't a grease fire.
Yeah.
If that were to blow.
If you, sir.
Scamper.
Spinach omelet would go everywhere, even on her scamper.
This steak is overcooked. Now, when stars take a stand politically, and we've talked about this before, does it make any difference at all? Well, mostly no, but partly yes. A new survey, 1 out of 6 Americans say they would vote for a candidate because a celebrity they like told them to do so. Oprah is the most influential, followed by Clooney, Angelina, Arnold, Bono, and Gore.
What about Andy Milonakis?
He's not. He doesn't make any list.
Wish I hadn't Jerry'd that.
That's a good new expression.
Mm-hmm.
What about Joe Krebs?
That's who I'm. Yeah, I will vote for who Krebs endorses.
Locally, sure. That's true. This is a national survey.
Joe Krebs is a national figure. Sure, you may think he's the guy on Channel 4 here who just badly reads cue cards in the morning and rides his bike off bike paths. But no, there's a lot more than that to Joe Krebs.
All I know is before I vote, I'm going to put a little phone call into Miss Megan McGrath.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you were going to do that anyway.
That's right.
Chief Wahoo also called her. He wants his teeth back.
Uh-huh.
Just in case Megan McGrath is
Megan McGrath in her teeth.
Now, we also have stars who make us want to do the opposite of whatever they recommend. Rosie O'Donnell tops that list in this survey.
Thank you!
She's followed by Madonna, Jane Fonda, and Donald Trump. One in 10 Americans say they would like a political candidate less if that candidate were endorsed by a celebrity, even if the celebrity is someone they like.
What if it was OJ?
Well, I don't know. I guess he's a
celebrity.
Votes.
He is a celebrity, big celebrity.
Sure. Oprah is backing Obama. Time will tell whether that makes a difference for him either way. The Japanese have finally invented something we really need. That's them. A car toilet for when you're stuck in traffic or have some other emergency. A car toilet.
Oh, most honorable bladder, I honor you by going stuck in traffic on American Legion Bridge.
I could have used this last Thursday.
Before setup, it's small enough to fit into a suitcase, but it opens up to become a commuter's paradise, complete with a privacy curtain.
Just carry a Gatorade bottle.
A plastic bag collects the leave-ins.
So this is for public transportation?
Your own car. You're stuck in
your
traffic.
Own car.
Yeah, it's for your car. I don't think they'd want you to do this on a bus. I'm
you
pretty sure.
You don't
want to
whip it out on a bus.
Supposedly, it's only for your back seat.
Well, how can you drive then?
Well, if the car's not moving, then you're not driving anyway, so you climb in the back and you use it.
It's a worthless product.
Totally worthless. Makes no sense whatsoever. And traffic's always moving. It's just moving at a snail's pace.
I don't see why you couldn't put it in the front seat, but they're saying it's for the back seat.
Well, the whole thing is ridiculous because you get beeped at.
Well, hold on.
Not if traffic is not moving at all, and that's what they're talking
but
about.
But it's traffic not going to help. Traffic's always moving a little bit. Still.
Is it a product for pee or for poop?
Yes, both. Hey.
Well, but do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, even when how do you know it's not going to start up again, even if it stopped?
I didn't invent this thing. I'm just telling you about it. I'm not here to defend the,
all right.
the car toilet.
I believe if you had to have a number two, you probably would want to get into the back seat.
And I believe the children are our future.
The product goes on sale online next month.
All right.
Finally, the Disney ride, It's a Small World. First,
and I believe... That we are running so late.
We are late,
yeah.
We are, never mind what I believe.
The Disney ride, It's a Small World, first opened at the World's Fair in New York in 1964, and in all those years, they have never replaced those little boats or the canal through which they float. But the music has stopped. The ride has closed and will stay closed for over a year while the ride is refurbished, including new boats and a new canal. It had to be done. Not so much because the ride needed freshening, but because in recent years, the boats started bottoming out and getting stuck. Americans are fatter than they were in 1964. So today we know it's not a small world after all.
Okay.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
All that time I'm looking for Believe by Cher. Do you believe?
Do you believe in love after love?
All right, that's it. We got to fly. Wow, what a mess this last break was. This might as well be the Jerry Lewis telethon.
We're not that bad. We're not slur-girling.
No. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 And Head?
You'll never guess who I saw at Executive Getty.
Peter North?
No. Stephen St. Croix and Asia Carrera.
Linda Lovelace.
Porn star.
This is the Don and Mike Show.